Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listeners. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Stuff to do and talk about video games. I saw two brilliant films. Well, one brilliant film and one quite good film. More of that and your phone calls after the news at 9:10.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there when we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Oh, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. I saw the most... Buzz ends. I saw two films at the weekend, right? One of them was a preview of Finding Dory. It was good. I laughed and I cried. 0844-499-1000 is the phone number. I laughed and I cried. It's the same story as Finding Nemo, but it's brilliantly done. It was the same story as Finding Nemo, but it was brilliantly done. No spoilers here, guys, but it ends happily, you know. She's looking for her parents. Guess what happens? But it's beautifully done. And I laughed and I cried. And then that evening, I watched a film that I'd never heard of, right? And it's got an actor in who, I'm going to be honest, I've never rated Pierce Brosnan. I've never rated him. I used to quite like him when he was Remington Steele, wasn't he? Was that what he was? Remington Steele. I remember watching a few of those as a kid and enjoying that. I thought he was a poncy Bond. Quite poncy. Do you know what I mean? Just a bit snide. He was a snide Bond, I always thought. Just a little bit too coiffured. Is coiffured a word? Coiffured. How do you like your coiffure? Like my men, black and sugary with cream on them. I've never liked Brosnan. I like Bronson. I don't even like him. 0844-499-1000. If you want to join in at any point, guys, you can. But I watched this film with Brosnan in. Pierce Brosnan in. And it's got... So one of my least favourite actors coupled up with one of my all-time favourite actors, Owen Wilson. I love Owen Wilson. I think Owen Wilson is the most underrated actor of a generation. There, I said it. And you know what? I actually mean it. He's brilliant. I've always liked Owen Wilson. I've always found him hilarious. Hilarious and also heartbreaking. If you've ever seen The Royal Tenenbaums, have you seen that yet, Kath? I have to lend it to you. Oh, God. In The Royal Tenenbaums, Owen Wilson is just breathtaking. And then you go back a couple of films to the first film that him and that film director made, and they wrote it. I think he wrote Royal Tenenbaums as well. Bottle Rocket. He's brilliant, right? He's brilliant. And then he did some ropey films, and then he took too many drugs and tried to kill himself. So, you know, he's lived, and then once he tried to kill himself, he couldn't get a decent film part. He ended up doing things like Hall Pass and Marley and Me, Swarfiga, Swart Liver. I'm trying to read Catherine's lips and I can't read what she's saying. It looks like Swarfiga, so I'm going to say... Shut up, man. Zoolander was before this suicide attempt and Zoolander was brilliant. Zoolander 2 was pony, but Zoolander 1 was awesome. So he did. He ended up, you know, doing a lot of rubbish films, which is sad. But then I watched this film on Saturday and I wasn't expecting a lot from it. I'd started another film and I thought, oh, no, this isn't for me. I was watching this film. It's called No Escape. No Escape. And it came out either last year or this year, right? And it was flipping brilliant. Oh, it was brilliant. And do you know how I know it was a good film? Because I had nightmares about it. I had nightmares. It was absolutely relentless. Relentless! So... And there may be spoiler alerts. So what he does, right, is he takes his family to go and work abroad in Anonymousistan. You don't know what the country is. It's just like an Anonymousistan country, you know. Gunistan or something, I don't know. Bombistan, I don't know. It's an anonymous country, right, where they're a bit ethnic and it's all a little bit, ooh, aren't foreigners funny? And they're staying in a luxury hotel. But then he goes out shopping to buy a newspaper. The first day they're there. And he's looking at all this tut. It's all tut abroad. It's all tut. He's looking at this tut in this market. And then he hears a noise. And he looks behind him to the left. And there's about 500 coppers with riot shields. He's like, all right, yeah. Looks the other way, and there's like about 500 dodge pots with like the old bandanas over their faces and rocks and Molotov cocktails and stuff. He thinks, oh, this looks awkward. And it turns out there's a coup going on. There's a coup. So it's timely, it's topical. And he runs off and he hides and he's about to approach a group of people. Then he sees that they've got a guy and this guy's going, I'm an American, let me go, I'm an American. And they throw him on the floor and shoot him in the head. Now... That's just the start of the film. It's all downhill for Owen Wilson from there. It has got... I genuinely think, right, I am the only person that has seen No Escape starring Owen Wilson and Pierce Brosnan. And Brosnan is brilliant in it. He's doing an accent. Can't quite work out what his accent is. But he's doing an accent. He's a little bit... Because he's Irish in real life, isn't he? He's an Irishman. He's doing like a sort of Del Boy accent, but he's brilliant in it. I genuinely think I am the only person that has seen this film. 0844 499 1000. If anybody, and by the way, you can phone in about anything. I'm just going to sit here talking about this film for the next 3 hours. But, if anybody has seen this film and can back up what I say, I'm going to say it. It is probably the best film I've seen this year. Can I go further? Can I raise the stakes on that statement? Yes, I think I can. It's one of the five best films I have ever seen in my life. Boom. But only... Oh, wait, 444991000. But only because it's so bleak. It's unrelenting. Just when you think all the bleakness has been used up, there's more bleak. The bit, spoiler alert, they're hiding on top of a hotel roof, right? Waiting for help to come. It ain't going to come. You're in Dodge Potistan. And there's a bloke comes out and he starts shooting everybody in the head. Right, and it's Owen Wilson, his wife, and his two kids. And he's going, bum, we've got to get out of this. And he sees a roof a little bit about a few foot away and on down. He says to his wife, right, you're going to jump over there. I'm going to throw the kids over. Oh, she goes, well, I'm not doing that. He says, you've got to do it because otherwise they're going to shoot us all in the head. They're going to shoot the kids in the head. Because I'm not doing that. He says, just do it. And they do it. And flipping heck, man, it's so upsetting. He gets the girls. And they go, I don't want to do it. He's going, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. And then lobs are over. It is. And that's not even the tensest part. That bit, it's like, comparatively, that's like when Mary Poppins is singing A Spoonful of Sugar compared to the rest of the film. It is a bleak film. And it's interesting, right? So I want to celebrate this film, No Escape. And if you've seen it, 08444991000. I won't give any more spoilers, okay? And what I've just told you happens quite early on in the film, so there's plenty to see. But we've done this before. We've played with this before. This is going to be a show of two completely different opposing halves. And I'm building up to the second half, okay? And I've been thinking about the second half all weekend, and I can't think of a good way to phrase it. So it's going to be clumsy and awkward, but you can bear with me, right? 08444991000. Richard, I'll come to you in a minute, I promise. So, we're going to compile a list of bleak films. Threads, of course, is in there. There's any nuclear film. The Road, Threads, the one with Steve Guttenberg, I think it's called Not the Day After Tomorrow, that's the one about the ice. So we're going to compile a list of bleak films. 08444991000. And then, I've got the yin to that yang. Bear with me, I'll come to you after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right. I've been thinking about this question all weekend, right? Because there is a lyric in a song, which is Imani Coppola, who I'm obsessed with. We're interviewing her tomorrow. Touch wood. We were supposed to interview her last week. That was awkward. That was awkward. Hi, Imani. It's Ian Lee. Who? It's Ian Lee. We'd arranged to do an interview. Oh, shh. Shh. Oh, effing. Oh, shh. Oh, man, I effing forgot. God, I nearly swore then. I got confused with what words I was supposed to say. I nearly bleeped, forgot. I could say that. It's just the other one. Can you call back in an hour? I'm booking a flight to Asia. Can you call back in an hour? Yeah, sure. Not a problem, Imani. Call back in an hour. Hi, Imani. It's Ian Lee. Who? It's Ian Lee. Remember? I was supposed to interview you in a... Oh, ish! Oh, I forgot. What do you want to talk about? Like your music and stuff? My head's not really there. Can we do it another day? Of course we can, because I think you're an absolute... Literally, I think you're a genius. Think she is a genius. We're going to interview her tomorrow. We're going to pre-record it because it's going to be very, very sweary. I've heard her new album, which isn't out yet. It's hard work, but it's a masterpiece. It's an auto-tuned, sweary masterpiece. And the last song on it, the FaceTime Continuum, is just incredible. It's got the catchiest chorus ever. And the lyrics are, I unplugged your life support to find an outlet for my iPhone, and then you died. And then you died. It's brilliant. We'll talk to her tomorrow. But this question kind of pops up in this song, and the idea comes from this song. And I can't think of any way to ask it without sounding all hippy-dippy hippie. I can't. There's no way of asking it. So I'm just going to ask it. How do we make the world a better place? That's a genuine, serious question. How do we make the world a better place? And the line in the song, I can't quite remember it, but it's a riff on that be the change that you want the world to be, or whatever it is. Don't you keep mouthing stuff. I can't lip read. Type. Catherine's mouthing stuff, and as you may have just heard me say there, I can't lip read. We'll wait for the message to appear on the... Oh, I've not changed the screen. That's why. Hang on a second. There we go. Let's see what wisdom she has imparted. Be the change you want to see. Yeah, yeah. It was what I said. It's exactly what I said. I'll change it back to Jake Yap in a minute. Be the change you want to see. And it got me thinking, right, the world sucks, doesn't it? And in the great scheme of things, even, you know, Brexit doesn't seem that important anymore, does it? Really? Hannah, Richard, Ben and Bruce, stay there. I promise I will come to you in a minute. It looks like I might have fader action on the go as well. 08444991000. We call you back. The world sucks. I mean, Germany and France and Trump and Clinton and politics. And I was in London today and I felt a bit scared in London today because of everything that had been going on and all of this stuff, man. The world sucks. So this is a genuine, proper question, OK? I've got kids and I took the kids into London at the weekend and I wasn't scared. But part of me thought I felt a little bit anxious. You know, I knew that the odds were we were going to be completely fine, of course. You know, in the great scheme of things, even with the attacks that happened in France, it's a tiny number of people in the great scheme of things, OK? But they are someone's kids and someone's husbands and someone's wives and someone's mums. And, you know, so it could happen. So how do we make the world a better place? And I don't mean, hey, guys, how do we stop terrorism? Because you ain't going to stop it. I ain't going to stop it. And I don't quite know what I mean by that question. So I'm just going to put it out there like that and see if you can come back with anything. How do we make the world a better place? And can we compile a list of bleak films? I know, isn't it? Isn't it, though? 08444991000. Let's go to Richard. Evening, Richard.
Yeah, I'm on. All How's right. it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Richard.
First things first. I apologise for about 3 weeks ago, man, when I found up. Do you remember the Jackie Chan night?
No.
Do you remember you said who's your biggest hero and you said Jackie Chan?
Oh, yeah. The greatest living man, yes.
Was the night of Brexit, if you remember.
I don't remember it better than me. Why? What happened, though? Are you apologising for Brexit?
I remember it better than you because my daughter bloody recorded it and said, Dad, you're such a tit.
Uh-oh.
Next day, do you know what I mean?
What did you do?
Anyway, many points.
Hang on a minute. We're in no rush.
Sorry.
This is a late-night radio show. We can take as long as we want. What did you do that warranted humiliation from your daughter?
I was the Scouser sat in the back garden watching me fish, talking about Jackie Chan. Jumping through a ladder. Remember?
I do remember.
The fourth call, I was like, right, idiot, he's way too drunk. So that was my first point.
Well, thank you for apologising.
Second point.
Yeah, go on.
Is Piers Brosnan way too off himself? Totally correct.
Yeah.
Third point, Owen Wilson was superb in Armageddon. And
he's a good actor,
dude,
and he's a solid actor. And
behind Shanghai Nights,
Jackie Chan.
You get me now.
I do get you. And he was also good. Was he in Behind Enemy Lines as well?
He was.
I think he's a good actor.
And right, my fourth point is Brexit and all that bollocks. Right?
Yeah, steady on. Apologies, we didn't done that. I've got faders now, so I can do this. Apologies if anyone was offended by the category C. Yes, carry on.
Sorry. Just a
Are you drunk now?
Anyway, Trump and Boris, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And you're talking about New World Order and all that.
It's going to happen. Here's my prediction.
I teach survivalism, you know, bushcraft and stuff like that.
Survivalism.
It's going to come to that one day, mate.
You teach Buddhism.
Seriously. It's going to come to that one day, bro.
You teach
it
alcoholism.
Really is.
Yes. Here's my prediction. It's going to be President Trump. It's going to
it
happen.
Is. And
everyone
that is
from
one scary thing.
Everyone
it?
From day one was going, "Oh, it
picture
won't happen."
Team.
I'm trying to, but I keep getting, the picture keeps getting interrupted by someone jumping in front of my train of thought. But you picture it and describe it to me, Richard.
Am I what?
Yes. So, it's going to happen. And everybody was saying, it won't happen. America's too sensible. No, it's going to happen,
Hillary
guys.
Hillary hasn't got a chance, mate.
Yeah.
Hillary hasn't got a chance. And that is going to be one frightening thing when a dude like that is in charge of the big red button.
Yeah.
Simple
right.
as. Right. That's all. The only point I've got to make, I don't want to run out. Really annoy you tonight because I could talk to you on
too late
night.
For that, Richard, but thank you very much indeed. Always appreciative when callers phone up to apologise for being tits. Ipsnay on the bad language, though, guys. Just hold back a little bit. 0844 499 1000. It's all on me. I've been a little bit free and easy with some of the swears on here. And I just want to kind of back away from that a little bit if we can. Bruce is on the line. Evening, Bruce.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Bruce.
How are we doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
Good, good, good. Well, first of all, you want to make the world a better place.
Yeah, I do.
I had a mantra tonight.
Oh, yeah.
From Gary Marshall, who just died.
Oh, Gary Marshall, the creator of Happy Days. Yes!
Hey! His mantra, and this is something that he regularly told people, was what he lived by,
yes.
was, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
See, now, okay... But how does that? And I'm gonna be picky with these, Bruce. I'm not having a go at you. I'm gonna be picky.
No.
But how does that make? How does that? That doesn't make the world a better place, though. It's a nice thing to say, and it's a cute thing to say. It's like those posters of a cat that hanging onto a branch, and it says "Hang on." Or my friend Scott Balcony is brilliant. If ever I say something that is quite pretentious, he will get the quote and put it next to a silhouette of an American Indian. Looking out at the sun setting. He'll put the quote on next to it like one of those posters. He does that quite a lot, and I find it very entertaining. But that doesn't make the world a better... I get what it means, and I get what you mean with it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, it doesn't. But I think what you've got to think about with these kind of things is it's people power, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not one thing that's going to make the world a better place, but it's the small steps, and it's doing those little tiny things that can have a bigger impact.
Here's a practical thing, right?
Yeah.
Gary Marshall, that phrase, okay, that's cool. But Gary Marshall made Happy Days. That made the world a better place for a little bit. For about three seasons, then it got stupid. So that's a practical... Here's a thing, right? Funnily enough, we've got a guy coming on tomorrow, Rick Sapphire, who's a friend of Jerry Lewis, who I'm obsessed with at the moment. We've also got Jerry Lewis's biographer coming on in a week or two. And Rick Sapphire, I was looking at all these pictures of all these famous people he knows, and he is friends with Potsy Weber and Ralph Mouth. And there's a picture of them now. And boy, oh boy, those guys look old. Did you know John Lennon was a huge fan of Happy Days? Google this, right? There is a picture of John Lennon on the set of Happy Days hanging out with Richie Cunningham and the Fonz. And everybody's face. The Fonz is so happy because he stood next to John Lennon. And John Lennon is so happy because he stood next to the Fonz. It's such a charming photograph. Have you got it, Kath? Isn't it brilliant? Everyone is so pleased. A Beatle meeting the Fonz.
And let's not forget as well that Happy Days gave us Jump the Shark.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You also mentioned Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
And also kind of like depressing, not depressing films, but...
What was the phrase? Bleak.
Bleak films. So first of all, Pierce Brosnan, have you ever seen the clip of his amazing acting in the film Taffin?
No, what? Tacking?
Taffin. T-A-F-F-I-N.
No, I
if you go on to... I would play the audio, because I've got it, but it would sound better if you play it. It's on YouTube.
Right.
If you type Taffin, and you shouldn't be living here...
Yeah, but
the phrase, you shouldn't be living here. But... It's a 15-second clip, and it's the best acting you'll ever hear in your life.
Hang on a second. We've been promised the best acting I'm ever going to hear in my life. So we'll let Taff... Hang on a minute. Taffin, you shouldn't... here we go. It comes up. There we go. Let's have a little look. Here we go.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's now, easily fixed.
Oh. Don't tell me that wasn't Oscar worthy.
Is he... Was Brosnan... in the Lawnmower Man as well, wasn't he?
He was.
He was the scientist that made Jeff Daniels not be mentally challenged anymore. Jeff Fahey, that was it. Well, hang on, what was Jeff Daniels in? Was he in Lawnmower Man 2?
No, Jeff Daniels was in Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, I'm thinking... I've got... yes, I am picturing Jeff Daniels' Dumb and Dumber character putting on the virtual reality mask in The Lawnmower Man. OK, well done. I interviewed Jeff Fahey and I hugged him.
Of course, lost.
Yeah, I hugged him and thanked him for The Lawnmower Man because it truly is a work of inspired, insipid genius.
Indeed. And not too bleak, I'd say. But for a bleak film, two come to mind. The first one is another Stephen King film, funnily enough, The Mist.
Yeah. I confuse it with The Fog. The Mist is the one where they're in a supermarket.
No.
Well, hang on a minute.
Isn't that Dawn of the Dead?
No, there's one where they're in a supermarket. I know because I saw it in New York City. They're in a supermarket and there's all these monsters outside and one of them goes with a bit of rope tied around him and goes to walk out into the mist and then the rope goes funny and they pull it back and there's only half of a man there.
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, I am right.
It's been a while since I saw it. And the other film that always comes to mind in these conversations, not the remake, because I've not seen that, I refuse to, but the original Old Boy.
Old Boy, would I call that bleak? I mean, well, it's a bloke who gets put in solitary confinement for 10 years. Yeah, he gets put in solitary confinement for 10 years. He doesn't know why. It is, it's brilliant. I'm not going to allow it, Bruce, in the bleak hall of fame, I'm afraid. I'm going to be strict tonight. Here's the thing, guys. I've been too soft and... Ben and Anna, stay there. We'll come to you next. 0844-499-1000. I've been too bleak. No, hang on a minute. Let me rewind. I've been too liberal and weak with you guys, and I'm going to start challenging you a little bit more. So we want bleak films. I'm not going to include Old Boy in bleak. It's good. It's a good film. Brilliant film. What are we talking about? Bleak films. How do we make the world better? It's a genuine question. And we seem to have gone off on a Pierce Brosnan tip. I'm happy to indulge that. 0844. 499-1000, we will call you back.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844-499-1000. Catherine says, Claxon, this is Adam Buxton shtick. It's a phone-in show, guys. It's a phone-in show. What comes up... I'm sure Adam Buxton is not the only person to have played that clip, right? People phone in with stuff. I can't vet all of it and go, right, can you provide sources for your material, please? Because, well, I happen to have it on good authority from someone on Twitter that you've plagiarised this. All right, so that's tough. And Sally says, will you please stop shouting? It's a late night show, not a breakfast show. We're trying to relax and settle down. Hashtag headache. Jog on! Jog on, Sally! My show, my rules. If you want a quiet show, go and listen to LBC Love or Five Live, all right? That's not what you're going to get here. We'll be quiet a bit later on and then we'll be noisy again, all right? At the moment, we're being noisy. You may think a late night show is meant to be nice and soft and relaxing and we're going to talk about immigrants and old sweets from the 70s and we'd really like it if you could give us a call because we really want to hear your thoughts on what did you think of the story about Russia and the Olympics and do you think that Russia should be booted out of the Olympics and do you think that man should lose his knighthood for being a bit of an arse and stuff like that? That's not this show, Sally. I'm really sorry. If you don't like it, that is tough. Go and listen to lbc.co.uk. There you go. I've even given you the website. I'm just saying, what I'm doing is I'm urinating in the corners of the garden. I am marking my territory. This is my territory, OK? I know what I'm doing. Every now and then I get a little bit lost and end up in someone else's gardens. But tonight I'm in my garden and I know exactly what I'm doing. Tonight I'm at the peak of my powers. 0844 499 1000. Ben's on the line. Evening, Ben.
Knowing me, Ben, knowing you, Ian Lee, aha!
Yes, Ben, you're obsessed with thinking this is something like Alan Partridge.
Now, I have a complaint, Ian, I have a complaint.
No, but I have a complaint.
You claim
I have
that
a complaint.
OK, it's your turn to speak.
This show is nothing like Alan Partridge. And it's actually quite insulting for you to keep saying that.
He says, wearing the Beyer white headphones that Alan Partridge always wore. You're wearing the Beyers, Ian.
Well, but no one can see that I'm wearing the headphones apart from 82 people on Periscope.
You come up with topics, like, for example, tonight you're talking about how can we make the world a better place. That's just what Alan Partridge would come up with.
Well, no, but the thing is, I actually mean it.
Look, I'm a huge fan of yours, Ian.
Yeah, but I'm going off you quite a lot, because that's quite insulting to say that.
Well, if I have insulted you, Ian, let me say I want to apologise now, because I've followed you for 20 years, and
I've been doing this for about 16 years, so for four of those years, you were just following a man.
Anyway.
But I don't want to dwell on it too much, but... Do you see my point? By comparing me to a brilliant comic creation, but one that is purposefully awful and lame, do you not see that that's an insult?
I'm getting quite scared now, Ian, and I'd like to say that I now see exactly what your point is, and I want to retract what I said last time. I want to retract it.
Okay. But do you see...
And I don't think...
But do you see why that would be an insult? And why hurtful to me.
Yes, because he is a comic creation, whereas you are doing a serious show, I think. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
No, Ben, you're not supposed to say
that. I want to make nice, Ben, like Natalie Maines.
Ben, you're supposed to say what you want to say, and if that's what you want to say, then fine. But I don't think that is what you want to say.
I just love the show. I think it's great. The callers are great. I don't like Stephen Murdoch. I found him a little bit edgy. And that thing about the floppy, I found a bit offensive.
Yes, that was a ridiculous waste of everyone's time, people phoning in and winding him up.
And Stephen Murdoch of Kilkenny Productions, I mean, you know, I wouldn't hire them.
Kilkenny Solutions.
He's a loose cannon.
Well, you know, and you're not.
Listen, I'll tell you who's a good actor.
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton, he's my favourite Bond. I had a crush on him when I was growing up. Went to see him at 8 years old, and I fell in love with him. Not in a sexual way.
Oh, here we go. Hang on a second. Sally Waters, jog on. Yeah, just remember who keeps you in the show. Rajar figures out soon. Keep your voice down. It's 10:35 p.m. Oh, and cut down on the caffeine. Hey, Sally, you don't keep me in a show. My boss, Denny, does, right? So why don't you go and listen to something else, you fruitcake? This show isn't for you, right? It's obviously not for you. So go and listen to something else. I'm not changing my act from someone who's just moved from St Albans in Hertfordshire, loves Bill's Restaurant, dance and chill out music. I've just got that from a bio. I'm not going to change my act for you, Sally Waters, at all. So jog on. It isn't for you. Go and fight. Go and listen to BBC London. You'd love that because it's as bland as anything. All right? You'll love that. Right,
Ben. I agree with you so much. I can't stand this bland radio where they talk about, you know, the war in Iraq and let's phone in about Brexit.
Yes.
What you do is so fresh, you know, it's so fresh and on the pulse.
Well.
Listen, I've got a film to recommend, a wonderful cheer-up film. A cheer-up film. You're going to love it. Summer Rental with John Candy.
I don't know that John Candy movie. Is that like
John Candy... It is a wonderful, the late John Candy. Jack Chester is a stressed air traffic controller who takes his family on a beach vacation and it all goes horribly wrong.
With hilarious consequences.
Yeah, you took it out of my mouth. With hilarious consequences and a real twist at the end.
Well, it sounds hilarious, Ben, but I think I'm busy then. Thanks very much indeed. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's have a quick break, then we'll go to Anna and Alan and Craig.
Late night Ian Lee, on air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. So, Bleak Films, Pierce Brosnan. Has anybody seen the film No Escape? Am I the only person that's ever seen this film? It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And it kind of just seems to have snuck out without anybody knowing anything about it. I've blocked her now, silly sausage on Twitter. Some people, she's, if you look at her Twitter feed, it's just having a pop at people. It's all complaints. It's all complaints. It's really, really simple, guys. If you don't like the show, she's complaining her speakers were distorting. Well, you've got crap stereo. That's fine. I can't fix that. This is the show. The show is me, right? The show is me. Sorry, guys, but it is. And you either love that or you hate that. And if you're not digging it, honestly, lbc.co.uk, there's Five Live, there's all these places that will be doing nice, gentle shows at a quarter to 11 at night where people getting ready to get into their beds can get all tucked up and nice and snuggly PPIs and just getting ready for the night as we have the midnight and mumbling hour, and we invite you to call in with your thoughts on Sir Philip Greene and whether he should lose his knighthood and whether he should be allowed to take part in the Rio Olympics. We'll be taking your calls throughout the evening. Do that show. It's easy. It's a piece of cake. It's not what this show is. You know, on the days I'm excited, I'm excited. The days I'm not excited, I'm not excited. You know, and it's down and it's up and it's down. Anna.
Beep, beep, beep.
What?
Beep, beep, beep.
Say hello to Alan.
Beep, beep, beep.
I tell you what, let's try it. For that grumpy person on Twitter, let's try it, right? So for the next 5 minutes, let's do a nice, soft, gentle show where we take things nice and easy and we have a little friendly discussion. Anna, what have you called in for this evening, Anna?
My bottom is very bitter now.
Your bottom is very bitter?
Yes, better.
You've got a better bottom.
Yes.
That's great news. That's great news, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Are you all right, Alan?
Not really, no.
Why?
Me mum's back in hospital.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
Pneumonia.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I'm not.
When'd she go back in, Alan?
She went back in yesterday.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. How's she doing?
Bearing up.
Yeah.
But at least they can treat it with antibiotics.
Yeah, she's in the best place. How long has she been? When did she come out of hospital? About 3 weeks ago?
I think it was end of May, wasn't it?
God, blimey. When the time gone quickly? You're right, because it was about the same time as my mum. A bit before. And she, was she all right? Was she on the meds?
Yeah. She was getting better slowly, but this weekend just gone, she lost all the strength in her legs and her feet.
Oh, bless her. I'm sorry to hear that, mate.
That's a bit down tonight. I want to talk about James Bond going on about Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, let's talk about James Bond.
No one mentioned the original and the best Bond of all, Sean Connery.
No, I don't buy this Connery stuff. I do not buy it.
Have you ever seen Doctor No?
I've seen bits of Connery films. I cannot sit through a whole Sean Connery, James Bond. I find them tedious and slow. And the awful special effects when he's driving a car and it's obviously a projection behind him.
What, the Aston Martin DB5?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what car. He's in. It's boring.
Daniel Craig for me.
Did you watch Quantum of Solace yesterday?
Did we watch what? Coming to the Colours?
No, Quantum of Solace.
No.
It was on the telly last night.
No, I don't really...
Lady
Kadonk.
Oh, sorry, you were talking to Lady Kadonk. Away you go, go on.
Did you see Quantum of Solace last night?
I saw a bit of it, yeah.
I saw it in the cinema. Not one of my favourite Bond films.
Do you sit at the back or the front?
That is a brilliant question.
Let's wait out there, the topic.
I like to... Because when I'm with the children... I like an aisle seat, because you have to get up and go for a wee about two or three times in a movie. So, We like the aisle seats. About midway in the aisle seats, as long as the aisle's kind of in the middle, really. I would never sit at the front. I sat at the front once to watch Dad's Army, the Dad's Army film, and it gave me a migraine.
What, is that the original or the new version?
That was the new version.
With me, when I went to see Ghostbusters, I sat in the middle of the cinema.
You sat in the middle of the cinema?
No, I sat down in the middle.
That's not why.
You sat.
Steady.
I was sitting down in the middle.
Yes. What, on the floor?
No, on the chair.
Aha. Yeah, I'm kind of a middle kind of guy. That's where I like to go, yeah.
See, Sarah, this is something you can put up with. Why complain? You'll enjoy it.
I don't know what I'd enjoy. I really struggled to hear what you said there. Where do you sit, Anna?
I like to sit halfway up, but in the middle of the aisle. If that makes sense. Near the inside.
Supposing strange people. And by strange, I mean people you don't know come and sit next to you.
No, but next to the stairs, as you go up to the stairs? In the middle of it.
There are stairs.
As you go up the stairs.
What is this cavernous? I don't think I've ever been in the cinema with stairs.
As they go up, in the middle of the cinema.
Aren't cinemas flat? Oh, no, when we saw 50 Shades of Grey, we had to go upstairs.
All right, remember this is in Kettering.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, I'm doing a gig in St Albans. St Albans in November.
I know.
I saw your message on Facebook.
Yeah.
When are you going to do one in Birmingham?
Never.
I want front seats.
Well, I thought you wanted middle seats up the stairs. I'm doing a gig. It's going to be, I don't know what exact date yet. It's on a Sunday. I think it's like the second Sunday in November at a comedy club in St Albans. I'm doing Ian Lee versus Radio one more time, guys.
Is Kath going to be there?
I don't know. Let's ask. Kath, you going to be there? She's flicking her fingers at me, so I'm guessing that means she wants to know the dates. Yes.
Yeah. Can I touch your beard?
No, you can't.
Oh.
I'm trying to grow a beard.
You're trying to grow a beard?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great news, Alan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I hope Mum gets better.
Bye.
He got cut off before I said that. But
I've got a film.
Yeah, go on. Is it Bleak?
To me. 2012.
Oh, no. What, the Olympics?
The film.
Oh, no, the film with John Cusack.
I have no idea what the actor's name is.
But, how do you not know John Cusack? He's brilliant.
I keep forgetting the name. But it is a Bleak film.
It's not Bleak.
Yes, it is.
It's not. I remember I saw 2012 at the cinema, and bizarrely, I think it came out in 2009, didn't it? And at the time I said, this is the greatest film ever made. Hollywood, you can shut shop now. You'll never top this. And I don't think they have topped it. I think 2012, it's a little bit too long, but it's brilliant. The bit where he's driving that big, long stretch limo and the ground is open, there's a chasm opening up behind him. Chase. The bit where the bloke's playing American football and he's running with the ball and then the ground, the big crack opens in the ground. Oh, it's beautiful.
They are good graphics.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. And the other one that I thought was quite great was I Am Legend.
I don't think that is Bleak. I mean, that's just apocalyptic, but I wouldn't say that was Bleak, I Am Legend. I mean, I would say it was boring. I remember watching it being very bored by it, but, I'm not going to put it in, unless someone phones in and overrules me, I'm not going to put I Am Legend in as a Bleak film. I mean, have you seen No Escape?
No.
Oh, man, it is Bleak. It is.
They probably has.
Oh, God. I want someone else who's seen it to phone in so I can talk about the bit with the gun pointing at Owen Wilson. I want to talk about that bit, but I don't want to spoil it for you. So I want someone to phone up so I can talk in code about it.
Oh, well, I'll ask Ray if he's seen it. If he has, I'll get him to phone up.
Get Ray to phone up and tell us about No Escape, for crying out loud.
Okay, then.
And if he hasn't, if he could start watching it now, and he'll be finished just before the end of the show, and we can, like, do the last 10 minutes talking about it.
Okay.
Is that all right?
All right, then.
Thank you, Lady Kadonk. Thank you very much. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I allowed myself to guess. Just, you see, did you notice that? I allowed myself to get sucked in. What's the venue that I'm doing this gig in? Let me, because people are asking. Maybe it isn't St. Albans. I thought it was St. Albans. Hang on a minute. 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 It's Happy Shark is the place, but is that a place? Oh, it's in Luton. Oh, no. It's at the Horn in St. Albans, at the Horn. You know it? They got steak, yeah, at the Horn I'm doing it, on the second Sunday in November. The tickets aren't on sale yet. I'll let you know when they are. Did you see I allowed myself, and I've been doing so well. Here we go. Make the world a better place. Me staying off Twitter. It's made my life a better place, and by association, it's made my children's lives better because I'm slightly less anxious and angry and full of self-loathing. Just ever so slightly, the self-loathing has gone from like an 11 down to about a 9.5, all right? And then I just allow myself to get sucked into it. I've been off Twitter pretty much about a week, just under a week. I've deleted it from my phone, although I can still kind of access it sometimes on the internet on my phone, but it's a bit patchy. And I've not been engaging with people, deliberately not been engaging with people, apart from when Kathy Burke tweeted me and then I tweeted her because we've got blue ticks. You'll all have blue ticks soon. I won't know. Limmy's being hilarious about the blue ticks on Twitter. He's outraged that normal people will be verified, and rightly so. We worked long and hard to earn those blue ticks. So my life has become better, and therefore kind of the world around me has seemed better because I've been off Twitter, because I've not been engaging on Twitter. And look, I just started engaging just this evening, and it's made me feel lousy. Isn't that interesting? Isn't there a lesson to be learnt from that? I do think, Gatford and Craig, stay there. I'll probably come to you after the news. 0844 499 1000, by the way, is an excellent time to call. You'll speak to Catherine. She will call you back. She's only here for two more days, and then she's getting Murdoch'd. It's been great working with you. Sorry it didn't work out. Yeah, you do that to Mr. Murdoch. I don't really use Facebook. I have a page, facebook.com/IanLee, if you want to go and hang out there. And I post bits and pieces on there. Oh, I had a weird... Thank you for reminding me. I had a weird thing on Facebook. Now, last week, and I can't see this gentleman's name because we've blocked each other. But last week, someone called in about a boxer. And I can't remember his name, Paul something, right? Don't remember his name. And I think we were polite about the boxer. And I looked up a YouTube video and I watched it. And I think we joked a little bit, but I think we were polite about the boxer. The caller certainly was. And I think I was. Well, this person got in touch with me and sent me a message via my Facebook page. I'll read it to you. Why was you calling me on your show last night? I bet you have never been in a ring. Now, whenever I've argued with boxers before, they've always at some point said, I bet you've never been in a ring, or how about we discuss this in a ring? Well, no, how about we discuss this with words, my weapon of choice? I bet you have never been in a ring. Right, what's that got to do with anything? But think it's okay to call me. You should not let drunks on your show mentioning my name. I have not consented to someone ringing up talking about me. Huh? This guy's a boxer. He's in the public arena. I replied, did you hear what was said? Please don't let anyone talk about me on live radio. Please, I don't listen to radio. I'm putting in the punctuation for him, by the way. Maybe he was typing in a hurry. I replied, right, so you don't know what was said. My next reply was a little bit naughty. You know Monday's show is this now. Last night, someone rang up talking about me on your show. I don't want my name or myself spoken about on live radio again. Don't be a boxer. Sorry, mate, that's not how it works. You don't know what was said, do you? Anyway, I'm busy. Have a great evening. If someone rings up about me again, I will be contacting your bosses. My reply was, I won't tell you how to do your job. You won't tell me how to do mine. Bye-bye, Paul. And he's blocked me now, so I can't even see who it is. And I just thought that was... that came from nothing. As far as I remember, the conversation was very pleasant about the gentleman. And a caller was phoning up to say that he was a good boxer, and I was kind of mocking a little bit and said, oh, he's a short fella. But that was it. And he's a boxer. He boxes in public. It's public domain. And it's got me thinking that far from uniting people and bringing people together, it does do that to a certain extent, the internet. But mainly it's divisive and it allows for aggression and it thrives on aggression. So, simple question. Tricky answer. How do we make the world a better place? 0844 499 1000.
Talk Radio.
For a Monday, it's not a bad start. First hour of the show. Sparky. Sparky, I would say. So, what are we talking about? The film No Escape. There must be somebody else who's seen this masterpiece. It's so tense. Pierce Brosnan. Bleak Films. And how do we make the world a better place? I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey! I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Raquel Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey! I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine.
Oh, 0844 499 1000. So I'm backing away from Twitter, and already I feel better again. I feel better again. It's a negative force. It's like what I'm trying to... Hang on a second. I'm trying to think of what are the things that feed off bad energy? It's from a film. It's not a real thing, obviously. There's a... Well, poltergeists. They're real. Well... they feed off negative energy, don't they? The more negative... Well, don't. They feed off teenage girls reaching puberty. That's what they feed off of. Ooh. Dirty poltergeist. Dirty poltergeists. The poltergeists are in many ways the Jimmy Savile of the ghost world. Thoroughly unpleasant. There's some creature in some film that feeds off negative energy. And that's what the internet is, I think, like. I think if you were to unplug the internet, there would be enough bile within it to fuel it for the next 200 years. And I feel better when I step away from it. Isn't it interesting? So that's how I make myself feel better, and how I, in many ways, I make the world a little bit better, because it's better for my kids. It's better for my work colleagues, because I'm less miserable. And it's better for Twitter, because I'm not going on there effing and jeffing all the time, which I do. But how do we... And this is a genuine question. I know, and I know it sounds soft. I know it sounds Partridge. And I know it sounds hippy-dippy, right? But you hear about that thing in Japan. And, you know, there's been 4 attacks in Bavaria in, like, the last month or something. And France. And it will happen in London, guys. It will happen in London, right? And Donald Trump. And it turns out Hillary Clinton, who's our best shot, is also a dodgepot. And... and you know, Boris Johnson and Theresa May and Corbyn, everything is screwed, man. Everything is screwed. The world at the moment is a bleak place. Up until a few years ago, I would quite confidently say that the world was getting better, that it was the safest it had been, it was the best it had been, it was improving. And I can't honestly say that now. And I've got kids, and I want to be able to say that, but I can't. So, right, and there is no clever way of asking this question. So the question is, how do we make the world a better place? Simple as that. But it's tricky. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number as well. And we're talking about Pierce Brosnan and the film No Escape and all kinds of bits and pieces. Gatford, Simon, stay there. Let's go to Craig. Evening, Craig.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Craig. What you got for us? Hey, hang on a second. I'm wearing shorts.
Oh, dear.
I've been meaning to say this all last week and this week. Look, I'm wearing shorts. I never wear... That's how hot it is. I'm actually wearing shorts. And I never wear shorts in public. Even when I go abroad to Greece, I tend not to wear shorts. I'll wear swimmers in the sea, but then I'll wear, like, linen trousers. Occasionally I'll wear shorts, but I tend to wear linen trousers. And I've been in London this weekend. I'm in a workplace wearing shorts. That's unhygienic.
Well, if you'd been in a school, they would have said you couldn't and you have to wear a skirt.
It would make me wear a skirt. What? So I'm wearing shorts. And lucky you on the Periscope, you got to see a rare glimpse of my horrible legs. What you got for us, Craig?
Three films that are bleak, but yep. I love them.
Yep.
And the third one leads to a question. First film, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 1978 one.
Oh, now, yeah, that is bleak. Leonard Nimoy and Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum. It is an absolute masterpiece. It's kind of a lost classic, that film, because people normally refer to the 1960 version, 58, something like that, the black and white version, which is a great, no, probably about 57, maybe. It's a great film, but the 70s one is so slow and so...
It's claustrophobic, isn't it?
Claustrophobic, that's exactly the word I'm looking for. Claustrophobic. And the bit at the end, if I got it from this, spoiler alert, guys, when I think it's Leonard, they all get separated, and then it's months later, and Leonard Nimoy, I think, finds Donald Sutherland, and he goes up to him and goes, oh, thank God I found you, I thought I'd lost you. And Donald Sutherland looks at him, points at him and goes, ah! And that means he's one of them. He's one of them. Oh, God, it's great. Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep and let it happen.
It was the girl, but that was cool. She went up to Donald Sutherland.
Say that again.
It was the girl in it that met Donald Sutherland.
Oh, was it the girl? Yeah. It was the girl, was it? Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a great film. Fantastic.
A great film and brilliant to see. People forget that Leonard Nimoy, right, was a flipping great actor. He did like theatre and all this stuff. And I just saw a trailer last week for a new documentary about Leonard Nimoy by one of his sons, who looks exactly like a Leonard Nimoy. It's the weirdest thing. And it looks absolutely incredible, this documentary. I cannot wait to see it. Here's two films I want to see, right? And I tried to find them and I couldn't. The Leonard Nimoy documentary. And there's another documentary out called Wiener about this guy, this American politician, who got busted for sending pictures of his name's Wiener, right? And he got busted for sending pictures of his penis to some voters.
That was his name as well, wasn't it?
His name is Wiener. Yeah. So, you know, people working here should take note. He sent a picture to his to a voter, and it was a big scandal, and he lost his job. And the film is following him. I think he's trying to rebuild his career, and I think he's running for the mayor of New York, right? And apparently he's a very arrogant man, right? And midway through the film, another scandal breaks. And apparently it is an incredible film. And it's made because of his arrogance, the arrogance of the man. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Go on, you had two more films. Sorry, Craig, go on.
12 Monkeys.
No, that's not bleak. That's not bleak.
No?
Well, does it? Because I've argued about 12 Monkeys with people, right?
Yeah.
And I have been convinced that in 12 Monkeys, he saves the world.
Well, no, because he's the kid in the airport.
Yeah.
That sees the guy going on the plane with the virus, so nothing's changed.
Yeah, no, but I thought, because also at the airport is the woman from the future. And someone explained it to me that they'd managed to work out his messages and the woman from the future went back to save the world. And so the world was saved.
Well, no, there's a TV series, which we'll ignore, but in the film, all the messages from the future are actually is the girl that's with him, and she's, like, messing about talking about the 12 monkeys.
Right.
So they think that the 12 monkeys release the virus, and they're this terrorist group, but they're nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I know, I remember.
Yeah.
But I thought... Someone's just posted me the picture of Donald Sutherland pointing and doing the noise. It's a great picture.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great picture. That's what I thought, but then someone explained it to me that, no, actually, he'd gone back and the message had got through and they'd
Well, I love it, so I will watch it again thinking that.
Is the series no good then?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, is it?
But the series is more like a Terminator story.
Okay.
About going back and changing things all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like in Terminator, the argument is, why doesn't Skynet go back before the thing that happened in the film?
Yeah.
So in the TV series, they keep trying to fix things that happen because of they fixing things.
Right, okay.
It's good.
Okay.
But the last film, Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, that is... Now we've got it. You've got it. You've got it totally. That... is bleak. That is who's the directed by famous.
Well, that's the question.
Child
Can
rapist.
I still like it?
Well, yeah.
Because of Polanski.
Roman Polanski, drugged and had sex with. I think she was 13 or was she 15?
Yeah.
I think she was 13. Catherine's going to find the facts for me. And he didn't just have sex with her. He.
We've seen Jack Nicholson's house on that.
13, it was Jack Nicholson's house, I think, or Art Garfunkel, Jack Nicholson's. I'm going to say it because it's a late night radio show. He drugged her and sodomised her.
Yeah.
And then when it all got a little bit messy, he fled the country and, of course, refuses to go back. Now, I know people that have worked with Roman Polanski that have been, you know, that jumped at the chance to be in a Roman Polanski film.
Yeah, there's famous people now defending him.
But yeah, and I think he's admitted that he did it. So it's not even, you know, he's admitted he did it. So it's not even a did he or didn't he? Yeah, he did.
And he's not served the time, so he's still like not paid the debt to society either.
He's a weird one, Polanski. I don't think... I mean, he hasn't done a decent film in a long, long time, I don't think. Rosemary's Baby was excellent. That was probably the best of his films. I mean, he did the Lesbian Vampire Killers, didn't he? The first one, not the one with Corden.
Yeah, Gordon. Vampires.
A tragic and sad life, of course, but he raped a 13-year-old girl, so, you know, that's...
Because what's
very
the name?
Naughty.
Victoria Coren Mitchell did a documentary about Bohemian. What was it mean to be Bohemian?
Oh, right.
And in one of them, there was an artist who drew famous artist in the past, don't even know his name.
Yeah.
But his art is well recognised. But some of it was of a daughter of his that he molested. And it was separating the art from the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the arguments. She said that she couldn't have a piece of art, but there was people there saying they could.
Well, this is the thing, and we've touched upon this here, and I keep going back to it. The kind of obvious example of that is Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a lot of Gary Glitter fans. I was working on something I never quite saw through, but I will see it through one day. And they say they can separate Paul Gadd, the paedophile, from Gary Glitter, the rock star. And I said, well, yeah, but you know they're the same person. But yeah, I do like listening to Gary Glitter songs...
Yeah.
But well, I don't condone his heinous crimes.
With that, like, there's a bit in John Peel's autobiography about how he thought a 15-year-old girl was pregnant.
Well, sex with a 15-year-old girl in America. And there was kind of... they tried to turn that into a huge scandal after he died because the BBC had just named the radio block of Broadcasting House the John Peel Building. And there was a kind of furore, and the press tried to turn it into a Savile-type thing, and it never ignited because I think it was one girl, but we all kind of went, oh, but it's John Peel and it was the 60s.
Well, that's the thing. Is it the artist itself that makes you judge? And I'm not saying I don't know where I stand because, Phil Spector, he's in prison for murder.
Yeah.
But his songs are great, ones he produced.
Yeah, his songs are brilliant. Craig, I've got to move on because I'm late and there's loads of people calling in. 0844 499 1000. It is. It was funny with the John Peel thing. We all kind of, when it is announced, all of us who like John Peel kind of held our breaths and went, make it go away, make it go away. And it did go away. It's in his autobiography. He had sex with a 15-year-old girl in the States. And I think he says, we didn't, ask for birth certificates and stuff like that. And everyone went, oh, but it's John Peel. And it was the 60s. And it was only one. Does that make a difference? Not really, no. 0844 499 1000.
Radio Free Galloway. Knock me right down and I'll bounce right
George,
back.
You're a fan. All talk shows with George Galloway. Order! Innocent until proven guilty.
Friday nights from 7.
On the nation's new home of sizzling debate. George, Radio. You're a fan.
Maybe you can't handle the truth.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Gatford!
You're frisky tonight, boss.
Feeling a little bit frisky. It's because I've got shorts on, because I've not had much sleep and I won't get much sleep tonight. And, got some bad news.
Ah.
Bad news. So.
Right.
I bought on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
My name is eBay. I bought on eBay a reel-to-reel tape player, £20 plus £10 postage, £30 total. I bought a load of tapes to play on it.
Before you received the reel-to-reel tape player.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Think I know where this is going?
It said the tape player, the reel-to-reel recorder, works. Worded very cleverly. Seems to work would be good for an enthusiast.
In other words, someone who could put it back together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, right? The kids were my wife was working on Saturday night, and the kids were at the... it was last night. Last night. And the kids were at my their grandparents. I had the house to myself. And I had 2.5 delightful yet frustrating hours trying to get this bloody thing to work, right? And I managed to hear Beg, Steal or Borrow by, I think, the New Seekers.
Let's say that, yeah.
But it was very faint. It was all very, very quiet. And then I could only get one tape to play. The other tapes, it would play backwards. And I spent hours trying to work it out. And then I Googled it. And basically, the tapes I had, I think, are 4-track. But this tape player can only play 2-track. Or the tapes are double-sided and this tape player can only play one, single-sided tapes. So basically, it was playing the forwards and the backwards at the same time, creating a mess. And also, it was playing it very, very quietly. And then I looked and I noticed the tape heads and the soft, getting geeky, guys.
Yeah.
The soft brush part that pushes the tape onto the tape heads, it was missing, and basically it was all knackered. And then I touched a bit, and then I took the top off, and I touched a bit with a knife, and it sparked, and it sent me flying across the room. And I cursed and I swore, and I phoned up my friend Watco, and he couldn't fix it. And I thought, well,
he normally can.
That's £45, including the tapes I've wasted.
Yeah. But it was a fun Sunday night, I'm sure.
I loved it. Oh, yeah. I absolutely loved it, and I'm gutted. Now, what I must not do,
I must not... Two things I must not do. I must not take that tape machine into a place to get it repaired because it will cost me a fortune. I must not buy another tape machine. I must not buy another tape machine. But I'm just going to have a quick look. No!
Just delete eBay off your phone like Twitter.
I can't.
You can. Come on.
I can't.
Do it with me. Anyway. See, that's part... Now, herein comes part of my solution for world something.
Yes, make the world a better place.
Well, there is no one thing that you can do. Let's all admit that. There's no magic bullet.
Yes.
Okay. But there are several things. And it comes down to whether you want a level of control over things or whether you want freedom over things.
Right.
If you want a level of control, everybody only gets 2 hours on the internet a day.
Yes.
Do with it what you want.
Say that again, because I wasn't actually listening.
Okay. Everybody only gets 2 hours of the internet every day.
That seems quite a lot.
I'm open to changing the parameters. But if you limit the amount of the internet...
15 minutes.
Fine.
And you split it. Well, you do it how you want to do it. If you do 7.5 minutes in the morning to check your emails and your Facebook, 7.5 minutes at night to check your emails and your Facebook.
I'm talking personal work.
Mate. Right. Well, so apart from the 9 hours you're at work, you're only allowed 15 minutes on the internet. Are you nuts?
But that can be monitored, can't it? Because legally, employers can say, no, you mustn't go on Facebook and Twitter, else we're going to fire you. So, you know, the sword of Damocles hangs over.
You know, the all bosses, never use a work computer, right, for anything.
Of course.
Naughty. Because all work bosses, if they've got any sense at all, have got the intranet connected up to their computer, so they can go, oh, Gatford's been on that computer a long time. Let's have a look. Oh, look,
you been talking to him?
He's on Just Eat, and he's ordering more food. Right. Oh, Catherine's been on...
Yeah? You got the history there. What's going on?
Catherine's been on the internet a long time. I'm going to have a look. Oh, she's looking at shoe porn. Men riding shoes with their phalluses. look, Id's been on the internet for a long time. Oh, he's doing his work. What, Bumwick? We're going to fire him first. We're in a massive bum lick. Look, he's editing and doing promotion for the station. We won't have that. So that's why I've got a laptop, you see. So I've got a laptop.
Untraceable. Anyway, so this is the thing. You can either go to a level of control or you go to a level of freedom, I think. We're sitting in the middle, aren't we? We're sitting in the middle of the idea. You know, we're saying, oh, yeah, you can do this and you can do that because you want your freedom, but you want to be controlled.
Right.
So you've got to make that decision. So either, and this is controversial,
yes,
you blow up all the terrorists, or you have to engage and find out what causes the problems.
I want to blow them up.
Fine, then blow them up. You've got to do one or the other. You can't sit in the middle.
All the suicide bombers, right? Can't we have a suicide bomber amnesty? I'm literally this idea is just coming to my head right now, so if it's ill thought out, I apologise. But I think that... indulge me, right? So we say to all the suicide bombers, right, listen... We're all going to have a big get-together on, let's say, this Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Yep. All the suicide bombers, we won't arrest you. We won't arrest your family. Won't do none of that. Why don't you all go to Trafalgar Square with your vests and your backpacks, right? And then nobody goes to Trafalgar Square apart from the suicide bombers. So they're all there and we film it and they get their message across, you know, all that. And we see all their faces and all that. And we make like really slick videos for them and stuff. So they got all that. And then they just blow themselves up. And it's only them that they're blowing up. Is that, would that work?
I don't know. It's good. There's something in that.
There's something in it, in sort of allowing them to do it in a controlled environment where only they get hurt.
That's not quite an amnesty, then, because an amnesty is like a gun amnesty, where you turn up and you give your guns in and they don't prosecute and they don't...
Well, they will be giving the bombs up, but they would be wearing them. I don't know. There's something in it. So I'm imagining, actually, that the death of the infidel is a significant part of what they do. But, you know, I don't know. There's something in it. I mean, those people really are... they really do upset me.
Clearly, they have got to you. I can tell that.
Yeah, they have got to me.
Now, let me come on to my bleak film.
Oh,
before
wow.
I do that, cinema position, row C, far right-hand side, because I've got bad hearing in my right ear.
Yes.
So I want to sit with the cinema sound to my left.
Okay.
And three rows back. Because, you know, being a bit tall, you can kind of handle the neck position.
Yeah.
I've given that some thought. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. Oh, that's not... No,
bleak
no, it's not.
Film.
Do you know what bleak means?
Yeah. Depressing.
No, it's not bleak. It's optimistic and hopeful.
No.
And they fall in love again at the end.
Yeah, but that's not going to work for them.
Spoiler alert.
Look at the history. It's going to repeat itself. It's bleak.
It's not bleak. You're not... Right, get off. Go on. Go away. It's not bleak. Someone has texted in. You can text 87222. Start your text with the word talk. Cost 25 pence plus your normal sending charge. Simon and Rocky say they'll come to you in a minute. You work for a radio station. Do you mean to say there isn't a tech engineer who can't fix the tape machine or know somebody who can? Well, yeah, but we work at a radio station in the year 2016. It's not 1983. So, no, there's nobody... if I had problems with the computer or problems with the studio, I'd go to them. Or the touch screen wasn't working. But you go to them with a reel-to-reel. Even then... You're not going to go to them with a reel-to-reel. They'll go, what is that? It's a reel-to-reel. They'll be younger than me. It'll be a kid. It'll be like a 22-year-old there. So, no. But basically, I've bought a pup, and I'm gutted. But buy cheap, buy twice. You see, that's the thing. Buy cheap, buy twice. And I really thought I got a nice little bargain there. And I bought this thing that is knackered. And I imagine, and people are tweeting me help on online. I imagine that it would just cost way too much to get it fixed, really. Tempted to buy another one. Must not buy another one. I've just been forced to buy a new car, which I dented. Dented my new car 2 days after getting it. I dented it. What a plum. 0844, etc., etc., etc.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Are paedophiles infidels? Are they infidels? I would have thought so, because maybe we can work... I'm still thinking this idea on, like, an amnesty on these... Honestly, I was in London with the kids, and for the first time ever... Not the first time ever, actually. The second time. The first time was when I went into London after 7-7, the first time. I was looking around... Feeling not massively tense. I mean, if I felt tense, I wouldn't have taken the boys to Disney headquarters and then into central London and then to the Science Museum. So obviously I wasn't that. But feeling a little bit ready to pick them up and run. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We call you back. Catherine, a little bit of politics there. Well done. I'm not reading what you just wrote. I'm not reading that. No, I'm not getting involved. Not getting involved. We're in danger of turning into the Ian Collins show if I read. I'm not reading that. Flipper, you're supposed to be the voice of reason. I'm glad you're getting Murdoch'd off. Simon's on the line. Good evening, Simon.
Hip, hip, hip.
Simon, what you got for us, boss?
I got a couple of things. I've seen No Escape.
Oh, what did you think?
Well, I was a bit, before I watched it, I was a bit worried because I've only ever seen him in, like, comedies. So he's always been a comedy actor to me.
Yep.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect.
Yeah.
But it was gripping. And even right to the very end, I don't want to give too many spoilers, right? Yeah. But I even thought at the end they were going to get shot.
There's the bit, right? And we're going to tread carefully, right? Because I don't want to spoil it, because it's on Amazon Prime, I've been told, so people can go and watch it. And it, honestly, it's bleak, right? Have you got kids, Simon?
No.
I've got kids, and my whole night's sleep was me running away and leaving, going, oh, no, I've left one of the kids behind, and having to go back and get one of the kids. It's horrible. But the bit... Right, how are we going to say this without ruining it for people? The bit when they're trying to get to the boat and they capture Owen Wilson.
Yeah, and she's...
And what, it was awful!
They dragged it out as well.
Yeah!
So it was like it was going to happen.
It was a bit like I tell you what it was reminiscent of, actually. It was like the Russian roulette scene... when they're in the Deer Hunter, but the first time they play Russian roulette when they're prisoners of the Viet Cong. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, okay. It's that tension with everybody shouting at each other, and you know you're just not quite sure what's going to happen. It reminded me of that. An incredible scene, and Owen Wilson. He should have got an Oscar for that film. I think he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it completely changed my idea of him altogether.
Yeah.
But in that scene you're talking about, I mean, the first gunshot, I didn't expect that to happen either.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
It's actually going to happen.
This is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a good film, and it's funny. I don't know why. It's either last year or this year it came out. And I don't know why. I'd never heard of it. I was flicking through films and I saw it. And then I go on IMDb and see whether I read the brief synopsis and the star rating. And it didn't have a particularly good star rating. But then I read one of the review that just a punter had put up there. And they went, ignore all the reviews. This film is brilliant. And I thought, all right, I'll have a go. And it was, oh, God, it was tense.
I don't think it got a very big release. I mean, I mean it's very realistic. Well, that I can, because I've been to Thailand earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the hotel scene, you know, you can imagine that actually happening.
Yeah.
You're walking along and the locals are all looking at you and you do feel sometimes a little bit of, you know.
Oh, yeah, going to India and you take two left turns and suddenly out of the hotel, out of the posh, swanky hotel, and suddenly you're in abject poverty. We were giving, you know, begging children, we were giving them pens that we'd nicked from the hotel and they were over the moon by it.
Yeah.
And we went on our honeymoon and we stayed in this hotel and we went out at night and everyone's going, well, don't go out at night. And we went, no, that'd be fine. And we went for a walk. And very quickly, it got very, very scary. Now, eventually, we got talking to this this man and his daughter. And it turns out they were delightful, right? And they invited us into their house. And it was a bit scary, but we went, yeah, all right. And we went in the house. We didn't have anything. They were offering us water, and obviously we didn't drink it. And they were just talking to us about England and what it was like. And it was this tiny house. It was two rooms, two tiny, tiny rooms. And there were about eight of them living there. And then it got a bit scary when they said, oh, look, we've got a car. Basically, they wanted to sell us stuff. And they said, we've got a car and we run a factory. Why don't you come with us in the car to the factory? And we're going, no. We're going to go back to the hotel now. And I kind of grabbed my wife's arm and we just started walking and walking and walking. And it got a bit scary. But you can imagine that turning at any point into what happened in that film.
Yeah.
Good. He's good, Owen Wilson. Have you seen The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yes, I have, yeah.
See, I think he's brilliant in that. He plays a junkie. And he plays an hilarious yet pathetic and sad junkie. And it's wonderful to watch.
I think there's too many other stars in that, though. He kind of gets lost in the background.
I know what you mean. It's, what's the name? Wes Anderson. I do like Wes Anderson. And when he's on form, he's brilliant. That Bottle Rocket and the Grand Budapest Hotel, I think, are masterpieces.
Brilliant.
Masterpieces.
I mean, the No Escape, they only could release it in Thailand if they didn't mention what country it took place in. And that's the only reason why it could have a cinema release over there.
Is it meant to be Thailand? I know it's next to Vietnam, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, because it was one of them films that made me want to research it after watching it.
Yeah.
Apparently the guys who wrote it came up with the idea after when they were youngsters, they went over to Thailand.
Yeah.
And just as they left the country, a coup happened.
A coup.
And it kind of gave them the idea about what would have happened.
It's a silent P, but yeah. Well, and it also was what was going on in Turkey, kind of makes you think. Someone has just reminded me, Pablo has tweeted, and someone earlier said The Mist. Right, and it's a Stephen King film, and it's brilliant, right? Bizarrely for a Stephen King film, because usually they're rubbish. And that is bleak. What is the rule on spoilers, Simon? How many years does a film have to be out before I can ruin the ending?
Oh, I think with Netflix now, it's got to be a long time, isn't it? Because there's loads of old films on there.
Supposing a film was out 8 years ago, am I allowed to say what the ending is?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, OK. So, this bizarre mist gets let out, right? It turns out it's the government have been... And basically, the mist is so thick you can't see your hand in front of you. And all these people take refuge in this big supermarket, this big glass window, right? And in the mist, you just hear all this... all these noises and stuff. And it turns out that there are these really freaky monsters from another dimension. But ignore that, because that makes it sound a bit silly. And this guy has got his kid and his wife with him. And they manage to get into a car and escape from this supermarket. And they're escaping and they can hear all these monsters, right? And they've got two bullets in the gum, right? The car runs out of petrol. This is bleak, right? The car runs out of petrol, right? And he says, he looks at the wife and she's like, they can't get out of the car because they'll be eaten by the monsters, right?
Mm.
And he looks at the wife and he says, I don't know what to do. And they both agree that they're going to shoot the kid. And the wife, he says, I'm going to put you out of your misery. Oh, God, it's awful.
Ooh.
And he kills the kid, right? And he kills the wife and he's in pieces. He's in absolute pieces. And he gets out of the car, knowing he's going to be eaten by these monsters. He's like, come and get me! Come and get me, you sods! I'm here! And then this army truck pulls up.
Oh, no.
And the army say, get in, sir. It's all over now. The mist was this chemical thing and we've managed to capture it. And they drive like 100 feet and they're out of the mist into the real world.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's bleak, man. And he's just killed his wife and his kid. Oh. It is, I mean... I've ruined it completely, but as twists go in films, it's beautifully done, yeah. You know, and it's such a harrowing hour and a half. Oh, man. Simon, thank you very much for that. Oh, dearie me. Bleak films. It's interesting as well. We're focusing more on the bleak films and instead of how we're going to make the world a better place. And it's a genuine question. It's a genuine question because the world is bleak, man. It is bleak. It is miserable. You know, Channel 4, on Channel 4 right now is a programme with a load of students looking at each other's willies. Is that on net? Oh, Catherine's going, I think maybe. She's actually reaching for the remote control. Going to sit in front of the TV, flicking away, trying to find that channel. And, you know, that's what TV is. And I didn't want to... I just noticed Danny Baker's tweeted about that programme. I knew that programme was on and I didn't want to talk about it because I thought, oh, I'm an old man. And Channel 4 is doing what Channel 4 is meant to do. And it's meant to be shocking and it's meant to be rude and it's meant to people over 35 to go, oh, this is disgusting. And it fed my kids for a few years, you know, because of that remit. But that is what we have come to, you know. People look at... It's a dating show where they look at people's willies and go... I'll have that one, please. We all know that there's. If you're looking at one on the Slack, it's not an indicator of where where it might go. It's meaningless. Probably crossed a line there that I would instantly regret. 08444991000.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Someone is suggesting Happiness is a bleak film. I've not seen Happiness for years. I've got it on DVD. It's great. And Lino is suggesting Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 is bleak. I would that's the one where he's on the Segway, isn't it? Yes, I would suggest that's very bleak. We've got loads of calls. Tony, Ed, Nigel, stay there. Come to you shortly. Let's go to Rocky. Yes, Rocky? Rocky, I'm all right.
By the way, you sounded a wee bit, to use an East Coast Scottish word, you sounded as if you were going a wee bit raj earlier on.
What does that mean? A bit raj?
Raj. Raj. R-A-D-G-E, I suppose.
Raj. But what does it mean?
You familiarise yourself with this lingo, if you're coming up here.
Okay, I've got to learn it.
By the way, you never told me what exactly you're going to do. while you're up here?
Oh, right. Well, I'm doing on Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th, either 2 or 2.30, somewhere, I think, at one of the Pleasance venues. I am hosting a panel show called War of the Words, which is being recorded for... it will be, like, available as a podcast at a later date. It's proper. We're going to have proper comedians on up there, and we've recorded 4 shows so far. We're going to record 2 there. We're also recording them the next 2 Sundays at the Backyard Comedy Club. And this coming Sunday, we've got Arthur Smith and... oh, we've got someone else who's really good, and I can't think for the life of me who it is. But the tickets are free, man. It's free tickets, and I'll tweet
the
link tomorrow.
I'll
yeah,
be there.
Good, man.
Well,
come along. It'll be nice to meet you.
I was going to say keep us updated by Twitter if you're still using Twitter. But by the way, Ian, I think you should just patch it. Just get rid of Twitter. You don't need it.
I do.
You don't need it in your life.
I do need it. I do need it.
No, you don't. Listen, right, what age are you? 43? How long you had Twitter in your life? 2 years? 3 years?
Six.
You survived. 6 years?
Yeah.
Right, well, there you go. So you were, what, 37?
Hang on a minute. Dave, are you telling me the show's on at 3:40 p.m.? You told me, guys, it was on at 2:30. You've lied, and you've ruined my weekend in Edinburgh, Dave.
Well, that's my plans up in the air, then.
Dave Cribb is going to get a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. He's saying it's at the Ace Dome at 3:40 p.m. on the Friday and the Saturday, the 12th and the 13th. Dave Cribb, of course, produces the John Holmes Show. So what the hell does he know about anything? What does he know about anything?
Serving an apprenticeship.
But I will be there and we'll be doing a show. And if people want to come and have photos and all of that stuff afterwards, then you'll be more than welcome to. And on the Friday, we're doing this show live from Sarah's house.
Is Sarah in Edinburgh?
She's in Musselburgh.
Oh, Musselburgh, aye, just outside Edinburgh.
Just outside Edinburgh. We are doing, we've got to check with her because we've got to check that we can plug into the internet. We don't want Wi-Fi. We've got to be able to plug into the internet. But in theory, we will be broadcasting this show live from a listener's house just outside of Edinburgh.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a great idea. I don't know, logistically, I don't know if it could work. What would stop you from doing a show and my taxi?
We need... No, I know, and I'm not averse to that idea, but we need to be able to plug our bit of equipment into the internet. Indulge me for 2 seconds. We have a thing called a Comrex, which I don't really know what it is, but it means... basically, it's a portable broadcasting studio, and it will connect us to Ed, who will be here, but we need to plug it into really fast internet for it to work properly.
So you need the yellow Ethernet cable, which no one ever uses when you get Virgin Broadband or Sky Broadband.
It goes straight in the bin.
I've got about 6 or 7 of them lying in my house.
Yeah, need that.
I'll tell you what, you mentioned Owen Wilson earlier on, right? I've told you, and it's not a bleak film by any means, but I've mentioned this film to you before. He wrote, and I think he directed, a magic wee film called Rushmore. Have you heard of it?
Rushmore, he co-wrote it with, and Wes Anderson directed it. Yeah, I like Rushmore. It's not my favourite Wes Anderson film. There's some brilliant bits in it. And
I
enjoy it the older I get. I go back to it every few years. I prefer Bottle Rocket. Bottle Rocket is the first film they did together, and it's just a joy.
I'm going to take a note of that one. Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, go. It's the first one they did together, and it's wonderful.
Right. It's changing the subject again, if you don't mind. Rajar and Rajar Figures. I heard that. Oh. That girl was having a pop there.
Rajar makes it sound like it's... Rajar makes it sound like it's something left over from when we used to own the Indian subcontinent. It's Rajar. How does it work? It's the most ridiculous system, but it's the best one we've got. Basically, this company will knock... will knock on your door, ask if you listen to the radio, and would you like to sign up for Rajar for, I think it's a fortnight you do it for, maybe it's a month, and you get a little book. You get a little book, and in it, it will list Radio 1, 2, 3, 4, and then some of the bigger independent stations. It probably won't list Talk Radio, it'll list Talk Sport. And what you do is every 15 minutes that you listen to, you tick. So imagine you listen to Talk Radio at 10 o'clock in the morning. No, let's not be ridiculous. Imagine you listen to Paul Ross, OK, in the morning, right? So you would write in Talk Radio, and then it'll be like a list of times, and you'd say, right, I listened between 9 and 9.45. So you tick those little 15-minute boxes. And at the end of the month, I think it is, they come and collect it. Then they add it all up, and they multiply it by, I don't know, 3,000, I think, or something. And that's how we get the listening figures. Now, it's slightly different for us and for some stations because we also broadcast online on talkradio.co.uk, and I believe the bosses have the technology to register the number of times people open that stream and listen. This show also has podcasts, and while the podcast figures won't be included in the listening figures, they do us a lot of good, and we get about 6,000-7,000 downloads a day. Shh, that's a secret, but we do. So there are kind of ways, but Rajar is nonsense and ridiculous and is out of date, but it's the only thing we've got. And when our figures are up, we all celebrate Rajar, and when our figures are down, we all go, but it's a ridiculous system, it doesn't work.
It's a bit like the horoscopes and the newspapers. No, not that I buy any newspapers. They're, by the way, there's a final wee tip just before I go.
Yeah.
You're talking about how to make the world a better place.
Yes.
Don't buy newspapers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rocky, thank you very much indeed. Of course, apart from The Sun, which I thoroughly recommend. Mandy, Miles28X is just tweeted me. I just tuned in because I caught you on Periscope. What's the station all about? I don't know. How would you describe the station? This show is weekdays, 10 till 1. Thanks for him. Let me click on Mandy. Let's find out a little bit about Mandy, part angel, part devil, mostly idiot. Okay. Hashtag Londoner, hashtag QPR, comes from Cambridge, joined in September 2011. Now we can look at Mandy's pictures. Look, let's see. Let's see what Mandy likes. Mandy likes Krispy Kreme donuts. That's a big box of Krispy Kreme donuts as well. Zero sugar Coca-Cola. Okay, well, I think that you've got the sugar in there. A cup of tea in a... she likes football, okay. And likes Fox News. Oh, and has hurt her finger. And wears sunglasses. There we go. Oh, and has got... Is that your boy? Is that your boyfriend? Flipping it, he's buff, isn't he? He's buff! And likes eating crap ready meals. Well, I hope... So basically, Mandy, the station is me looking at people's Tony!
How do?
Timelines. Aha! Aha!
Timelines.
I did it! Timelines. What you got for us, Tony?
Well, I was going to call him with a couple of bleak films, but also I got to thinking about how do we make the world a better place as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, how do we make the world a better place? And genuine question.
I think it's simple good deeds, like one that's been done for my family this week. My best lifelong best friend, Steve O'Brien, is signed up for Brave the Shave, you know, the McMillan. And he's dedicated it to my mother.
Well, there you go. Well, see, that's a, and we could be sniffy about this.
That's a
simple thing that will raise a few quid, which is great. But more important than the money it raises, it's doing something for other people, isn't it?
Exactly. That's what it is. I've told my sister, she was made up with it.
There you go.
You know, simple things, folks. Simple things for other people.
I ain't doing that. I'm not shaving my head. Or my face.
No, I couldn't.
I'm a man of beard now, Tony, and I'm staying with it. What can we do tonight? What can we do tonight to make the world a better place?
Why don't we all agree tomorrow to call somebody who we haven't spoken to for a long time and perhaps meant something to us in the past or... Yeah.
Call an ex and say sorry.
No. Yeah, mate. Or maybe that. Maybe apologise for the wrong you've done.
I'm not speaking to my mum for a while. I'll give my mum a call. There we go. You see, that's going to make the world a little bit better.
Dead simple.
See, it's a dead simple one, you see. And that's it. It's dead simple stuff, not big stuff. We're not going to... You and me, Tony, you know, I'm sure we're both very intelligent gentlemen. We ain't going to solve ISIS. But we can make someone feel a little bit better. And it sounds cheesy, and it shouldn't sound cheesy. I heard someone on the radio today banging on about blooming do-gooders. I don't understand why being a do-gooder is a bad thing. Why is it a dirty word, a do-gooder? Oh, all these do-gooders. Well, surely people who do good, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think they probably meant the do-gooders who were spoilers. The Mary Whitehouse do-gooders. I think that's probably...
I know what you mean. So hang on a minute. Dave Cribb, who's... So is it 2.40 or is it 3.40, Dave? Because you've sent me two different times, you absolute muppet. And one of the guests is going to be Al Murray in Edinburgh. Gosh. Anyway, sorry, Tony. What have you got for us, boss?
I've got a bleak film, Angel Heart.
Is that Nicolas Cage?
No, Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. I don't know it.
Lisa Bonet and Robert De Niro. Never seen it. Set in New Orleans.
Lisa Bonet, wasn't she in The Cosby Show?
Yeah, and that's the irony of it. She was in this, did a full naked sex scene with Mickey Rourke.
Oh, I do know the film!
And Bill Cosby got all on his high horse, his mole high horse about it.
Yeah, because she was conscious. Oh, I went there. Yeah, I do know that because I've seen stills from that.
You watch that film. You could watch that film sitting naked in an ice cave, and you'd still sweat.
Tony,
and it's a...
Yeah, is it bleak though? Is it actually bleak?
It's got a bleak ending. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give you a spoiler.
Okay,
it's bleak, man. Bleak. Watch it. Great film.
All right, I will do.
Angel Heart, very, very underrated.
Tony, nice one. Thank you very much. I've got to end it there because we're coming up to the top of the hour. Tris and Nigel, stay there. Look forward to... Here's how we can make the world a better place. We can listen to Nigel sing one of his songs, one of his pervy songs about a young woman. We can listen to a dirty old man singing songs about a young performing artist. How's about them apples? Suddenly 2 hours of radio has gone by and we've actually talked about stuff this evening. We've talked about stuff. And we've got new people listening, which is always wonderful. The show's in Edinburgh. They're at 2.40 at the Angel Dome. Al Murray's doing one of them. Flipping heck, he's proper. Now I'm a little bit intimidated. They're going to be free as well, but the next show we're doing is on Sunday. I will tweet a link while the news is on. Dave is going to tweet me, and I will tweet a link for how you can get tickets for this Sunday. At the Backyard Comedy Club in Bethnal Green. It's free. We do it in the afternoon. And he'll let me know who's doing it as well. 0844 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Ah, dearie me. An hour to go of the show. 0844 499 1000. Pierce Brosnan, No Escape, Bleak Films, and How Do We Make the World Just a Little Bit Better? I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's midnight. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We are a thing that's happening all across the world. We are a song. You're gonna sing all across the world. We are the truth that you see. We are a belief. We are the music that plays in your heart. We are the melody. We are the dream.
come on, that's a song. That's a song, isn't it? It's a song you've never heard and makes the world a bit better. That's Imani Coppola, who hopefully we're speaking to tomorrow for a show that will go out later at some point. We won't play that interview out tomorrow because we've got... tomorrow it's Rick Sapphire, friend of Jerry Lewis and the Three Stooges. Wowzers. Genuinely very excited by that guy. What he's seen... also friends with Potsy Webber from Happy Days as well. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's the last hour of the show. We don't do calls straight to air now. We do them on, we're going to do them on Friday. It worked really well on Friday, I thought. We had got a really dry nose. That means I'm getting a cold. We if you missed the last... Is the podcast up now, Catherine? Yeah, the podcast is up. Okay, so if you missed... The podcasts now are tending to be... We'll do if we have a guest on, we'll put that out as a special podcast. And then we will put the last hour of the previous night's show out. So it means you kind of get it, you know, the next evening. If you missed the last hour of Friday's show, it was in turn hilarious, thrilling and heartbreaking. Honestly, it was a tough one. It was brilliant and it was tough. And it was the first time we'd done straight to air for a few weeks and it worked brilliantly. So we're going to try that for a while. 08444991000. We will call you back now. But we're going to try it so that Fridays, the last hour of the week, midnight to 1 o'clock on a Friday, we'll do call straight to air. And if you missed Fridays, man alive, you should get the podcast from iTunes or from your usual podcast provider, because all of God's creatures were represented. Let's go to Triss. Hip, 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 Triss.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hello, boss. What you got for us?
Well, I was actually going to touch upon the Straight to Air on Friday. I was quite saddened by the call you're talking about.
Yeah.
Do you want me to mention the chap's name or not?
There's no need to. People who heard it will know. It's in the podcast, and it's all there for everyone to to bear witness to. Yeah, it was sad. It was heartbreaking.
I mean, I was brought up in an environment sort of similar to that. I had an alcoholic parent, and it's hard. It's something I don't really talk about. It's something I've sort of buried really deep. And I listened to that, and I was very touched by that. And I'm pleased you put it out as a podcast, actually, because it's important to get things sort of like that out, isn't it? And
it was, for those who missed it, we had this bloke phone up who was drunk, and he was an amusing drunk for a while, and then we realised there was a 10-year-old kid there, and it didn't seem like there was anybody else there taking care of him, and suddenly it twisted and actually became something quite sinister. And he continued phoning us for the rest of the night. Kath tried to talk to him once, but he was, no sense was being made. And it was... it was heartbreaking. How did you, the way you were brought up in that environment, how did that affect your attitude towards alcohol? Because it tends to go one of two ways. Either
For me, it's gone the sort of positive way. I'm completely teetotal. I don't drink. I've never touched drugs. I don't smoke. I sort of have the thinking that anything that sort of fuzzes the edges of my consciousness and perception isn't good for me, and certainly not good for people around me, you know. Yeah. So I've always sort of approached it like that. But I mean, without going into too much detail, having an upbringing like that, it's difficult because you go through sort of my dad was go through binges and phases, so there's a lot of mourning. And then there's like having that person back and then having them snatched away.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a very sort of very, very, very difficult thing to get your head around. And it was basically all of my upbringing. And when I was 17, 18, I tried topping myself, actually. And it just sort of got to me. And that was the moment I decided, actually, you know, why live like this? You know, it's, you can either repeat the faults of your father, or you know, you can stand up and be your own person. So I decided to, you know, get up, leave home, and be me.
Flipping heck.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that to come out, actually. It's not really something something I talk about, but yeah. No, it's and this is why I like the show, because, you know, we all have a chuckle, we all have a giggle, and I'm getting myself a bit upset now, but, you know. And, just sort of brought things home, and it was, obviously, I felt terrible for whatever that kid may or may not be going through, but from a kind of selfish point of view, I sort of thought, well, you know, people can make a difference in their own world and make a difference to their situation, and, you know, I don't know, I've got lost in my point there, but yeah.
No, you haven't at all. You're making a good point, and it's, you know, I appreciate you sharing, you know, those intimate aspects of your life with us, and it's quite, you know, well, it's very positive, because, as I say, you can go, well, it normally goes one of two ways. Either the kid never touches a drop, or, you know, becomes an alcoholic or a drug addict, or you know, follows the parent down that path. So well done you for
and
not.
And I think as a result, it's sort of made me very scared to ever lose control of sort of any situation.
Yeah.
So, like, I won't go on roller coasters and stuff like that, because I just don't like the feeling of sort of ever being out of control.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that's the right. You're absolutely right with roller coaster. I flipping hate roller coaster. One of my earliest memories, right, and I've been thinking about this a lot the last week, because the fair is near us and the boys want to go to the fair. And I took them to the fair the other week and I spent about 40, 50 quid there, and they want to go back again. And I've kind of said to my wife, you can take them, thinking you can go and spend an absolute fortune there. But I might take them again, because I did really enjoy it. But one of my earliest memories is we used to get a fair in the field around the back of our house, Roses Fair, and we went there when I must have been about 7 or 8, and I went on what we used to be called the Twister, not the Waltzer.
Oh, yeah,
not the
yeah.
Waltzer, that was something different. The Twister, where it's four arms, and on each arm are four carriages, and
yeah,
the arms spin around, and within those arms the four things spin around. And I was really, I remember being so excited about going on that. I really wanted to go on it, really wanted to go on it, really wanted to go on it. And I went on it with my sister and her friend, I think. And I absolutely hated it. I was terrified. I felt sick. I felt scared. I thought I was going to die. And my dad was there. My dad could see I was upset. And I was desperately trying to say to my dad, get me off this thing, man. Get me off this thing. I'm going to die. I'm dying. I'm actually dying. And I could see him walking to the man to try, and he was as though he was going to talk to him to stop it. And then he didn't. And I remember just feeling so betrayed that he hadn't spoken to the bloke. And I don't know if he spoke to the bloke or not in the end. And I got off. I was so upset. So upset.
Yeah.
And I cannot do fairground rides. I cannot do it.
No, I mean, I don't even like the teacups or anything like
that.
All of that. I hate it.
No, the merry-go-round, you know, where you're on the horses going up and down, I get dizzy. I get really... And every now and then, I don't now, because now I know, but up until fairly recently, every few years, I think, oh, I'm okay, I'm going to go on something now. And I would go on it and I would just go, nah, I hate it. I'd feel nauseous. I'd like vertigo. Oh, it was horrible. Having none of that.
I try and go on the odd thing for the kids because they love them, and I'm petrified. I've got two little girls sitting next to me loving it, and I'm the one terrified.
Luckily, my kids are wusses like me, so they don't like the scary rides, which is brilliant. Well, that's your problem, Tris. You got to deal with it, man. Okay, my kids are wusses, and they don't like the scary rides. So I
well, you've done well there, mate. Well
I've done very well, Tris. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Nigel, we're going to come to you next, I promise. 0844 499 1000.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Ah, 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Nigel! Nigel!
Hi, Ian. I've got a song for you in a mo.
Okay.
And it's a proper song off my CD, which you haven't heard before.
Oh.
It's called Misty, the Johnny Mathis classic.
Yeah. Okay, classic, classic.
And I sold quite a few when I was down at Butlin's a few years ago. It was I sold quite a few.
How many did you sell?
Well, probably about half a dozen in one night, but that's not bad, is it?
Well, six is not bad.
£10 each, you know.
60 so. Quid. I'm assuming you you let the Majesty's tax inspectors know about this?
No.
Oh. It's private. Yeah, that's right. It's private. Don't pay taxes, private.
Ian, lots of bands have their CDs on stage.
Yeah, and they sell them. And They declare it.
Well, I don't sell them. Didn't sell them very often. Do you think, Ian, it would be possible to get me on your TV show sometime?
I've not got a TV show.
Well, on one of your TV shows that you're on.
I've not got a TV show.
You said you were going on TV.
No, when?
Oh, is it just on stage then?
The thing I'm doing on Sundays is on stage. I am actually going on TV soon.
But you've got this new TV programme you're in, you said.
No, I've got... I'm co-hosting with the excellent Gabby Roslin.
Oh, yes.
The Saturday show on Channel 5 on Saturday, August the 20th.
But could you not get me in something like that?
No.
Oh.
No. TV's got standards and radio doesn't.
Hmm.
Do you see?
Yeah. They already know the people that are going on there.
They know. They'll be having big pop stars on there, like members of Westlife or something.
Yeah.
Nigel, I cannot tell you how much I would love to get you on that show, but literally it's out of my hands.
Obviously. The other thing I could ask is it'd be great if you'd host the radio show from my house at Yalding.
I bet it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
From my bedroom.
Yeah.
My studio.
Never going to happen.
And you could play the drums while you were.
Never going to happen. Your mum would tell us off.
No, it was a bit of one-off, wouldn't it?
Well, we need... Your mum would tell us off
well,
for making...
she's still up now. She doesn't go to bed till 3, so it would be well after her bedtime.
Have you got high-speed broadband?
No.
Then there you... Do you see? But
no,
I tell you what
it.
We could do, Nigel, and this is not a bad idea, actually, is I could do the show from here and we could send Kath up to your bedroom.
Yeah.
And she could do it on the phone or something.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Kath in your... Would you like to have Kath in your bedroom?
I'd love to. No inky panky.
It's up to you. It's up to you and Kath. What you arrange between you and the girl is entirely up to you. None of my business.
Are you serious, Ian, though?
Yep.
You're serious?
I am absolutely serious.
I've got to tell you that I've been doing Skype.
Kath, why don't you come... Oh, you answer that phone, then come and sit in here with us and we'll plan it. We'll find a date. You can go up to Nigel's.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
You've been doing what?
Skype with Miley Cyrus. She sent me... she sent a new page out to people, a private page, where I've got one video on her page, the Facebook.
You've been Skyping Miley Cyrus?
Private messages to her, and she sent me a... she said, you can talk to me on Skype. So I did that with Skype.
Nigel, when you talk to her on Skype, when you talk to Miley Cyrus on Skype...
She talks to lots of people around the world.
Of course she does. Mm. Do you see her?
Yes, it's on my camera's on my laptop.
Right, and so you can see her?
Yes.
Right. Does she ask you for money and things?
She has mentioned things for her the homeless people, yes. Because it's on her page with a tick as well.
So when you talk to Miley Cyrus...
Can you pledge 25 cents or something, you know, not too much money?
When you talk to Miley Cyrus on Skype...
Yes.
She asks you for money for homeless people.
But, yes, because she said that on her private messages as well.
Right. And how do you... Would one... Don't come in, Kathy. You're going to love this. How would you donate the money?
I haven't done it yet, but I suppose you send it off to the address that she would. If you ask for it, she'd probably put
it
up.
Does she ask for your credit card details or anything?
No. You have to send it to the address with the tick.
I'm going to. So when you talk to her on Skype, you actually see her talking to you.
Yeah, well, haven't you done Skype before then?
I've done Skype before. Mm. I've never done Skype with a famous person.
Oh.
So you actually you actually see her on screen and she asks you for money?
Yes. No, she didn't ask for money this time. Right. But she did on a private message.
Yeah.
This was a private message.
Hang on a minute. Kath's in the studio. Kath,
yeah.
Do you want to tell him or should I? Bearing in mind, he won't hear what we're about to say.
Should we both tell him?
Okay.
Shall I go first?
You go first.
Nigel,
don't
send anyone any money through Skype or anything else on the internet.
Well, I wasn't going for it.
Nigel, it's not Miley Cyrus. It's definitely not Miley Cyrus.
Well, I was talking to her.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Could you see her?
Yes, and she would just say, she only for she a would, couple of minutes,
because
she went on to someone else.
Have you listened to the, and his name's the Comrin, Alex Comrin.
Yes.
Who does the real
Alexis.
Hustle. Alexis, that's it, thank you. I know it wasn't great. Who does the real hustle on Saturday lunchtimes on Talk Radio. I've listened to it, and strangely, he's talked about this exact same scam, right? It's a scam. There are websites where you can get footage of all kinds of people, hot women, hot men, celebrities, and it looks like they are talking to you. I bet sometimes when you're talking to her on Skype, her picture goes a bit funny, doesn't it? Yeah? Does it?
Well, it's a bad signal.
Yeah, it's a bad signal. Yeah. You don't get bad signal on
Skype.
Does
she sometimes not answer your question as if she's not heard it?
Well, you can't hear very clearly. Well,
yeah, yes, Nigel, that... And I know you won't hear this, and it's kind of wasting my own breath. That's not Miley Cyrus. That's someone pretending to be Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, perhaps it's a way of getting money, then, or something.
Well done. I think... hang on a second. I just heard a penny dropping somewhere, yes.
Because they did ask, can you donate to the homeless on the private
not
page?
It's
still Miley Cyrus is asking for money, though, because she's asking for money at the one with the tick.
What's her private page?
Wait, it's Miley Cyrus with a tick. You have to with a tick on, and she's got about the homeless on there, and you can pledge. You have to send money to that
there's
page.
There's her sucking on a big bottle, dressed up like a baby.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So
where does it say about the homeless thing on there? I'm on there now.
I don't know where, but it's on. I've seen. Sorry, I didn't.
I said to dump Nigel. Yeah, you can't say that. They all
well,
start
that's
with
what
that.
She says.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I know, but mate, it's not her you're talking to on Skype.
Do you think it's her talk? On the page, it's her page, though, isn't it?
Well, that's her page. I don't see anywhere where she's asking
but she
for
would
money.
She would see my questions about saying I'm going on the radio, wouldn't she?
No.
Nigel, she's probably got someone else to run it for her because she's a bit busy.
Nigel, she's got 40. Hang on, where is it? I just saw it. 46,526,708 people liking that page. Let's round it up. 47 million people. With the greatest of respect, she ain't going to see your comments.
Well, I don't know. But
well, no, I do know. There's a comment here. The second post is a picture of her with a spliff on, wearing a David Bowie T-shirt. It's got 1,606 comments. The next one's got 2,949 comments.
I've got a comment on
I get,
one.
Yeah, I bet you have. I get like 20 comments on a thing, and I don't see them all. I miss some of them, she's not running that page. She's not responding to those messages. You have never spoken to Miley Cyrus. Don't give any money.
Oh, I'm not going to give her any money, anyway. I can't afford it.
Here comes Dan. Dan wants to say hello to you. Dan, you're through to Nigel.
Hello, Nigel. I just wanted to lighten the mood a little bit because it seems to have got a bit combative.
Hi, Dan.
Hiya. I hear you're having Kath over to your room.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether Ian's joking or not. But
I don't think he's joking.
Maybe not.
I think probably you and Kath could write a song for Ian.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How long do you think it would take you to knock one out?
We could sing at the time.
Hang
on,
Nigel. Dan asked you a very important question.
Well, I couldn't do it now. No, I have to play anything.
You couldn't knock one out right now.
No. I wanted to do a proper song tonight. I'll think about doing it tomorrow night. Then I'll work it out for tomorrow night.
You work it out
to do a song about.
Well, you've got to work it out, Dan. You can't just
get
out
Ian's name in it as well.
Yeah. Could you do it like Wednesday night or Thursday or any day after Wednesday?
Is that when you want it after Wednesday?
Is it going to be a big...
Do you want it after Wednesday, Kath?
Yeah, when I'm not here.
Is it going to be a big release, Nigel?
Well, what I can do is record it properly, can't I?
Does it just come out of you, or do you have to tease it out?
Well, I have to think about it a lot, what I'm going
to
say.
You have to think about it.
Yeah. Well, what's your inspiration, Nigel?
Pardon?
Miley Cyrus, I think.
What gets you going?
Oh, I don't...
Lindsay Lohan?
Pardon?
Is it hard, Nigel?
Yes. After Viagra, yeah.
Oh.
There you go, Dad. He's just beating us at our own game. Dan, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. Nigel...
Just joking.
You're just joking. I believe you'd like to sing us a song.
A proper song, yeah.
Okay.
I reckon I'm quite a good singer.
I know you do.
And I am quite a good singer, so I've been told. This is one of my earlier songs about 10 years ago. This one is on the CD.
Okay.
Would you like a copy sent to you so you can play it on the radio?
Yes, I would.
So I can get that done in Maidstone. A friend might be able to.
I genuinely would. Yeah, I'd love that.
Unless you record it now.
Oh, you don't need to send it, because when Kath comes up, you can give her one.
No.
Can you record some of it now so you can play it back another time?
I'm a little bit busy.
Oh, because some of the radio studios, they just press a button and it records.
We haven't got any blank
tapes. You are recording the show anyway, aren't you?
No.
Well, the thing is, the sound quality won't be optimum, and we want to get you in absolute crystal clear.
Yes.
So this won't be on the podcast, then?
This, unfortunately, this will be in the podcast, and I apologise to any podcast listeners. Come on, Nigel, let's have it. Come on.
The knob going and,
I'm losing the will to live.
Here it goes, then.
OK. So, when are you going to go to Nigel's?
I'm not going yet.
You aren't going. Go to Nigel's. It'd be fun. We need to do more OBs and get kind of a whip up interest for this show.
His broadband's slow and his hard drive is questionable. I'm not going.
You can do it on the phone. In fact, you don't even need to be on the air. Just go to his house one night and write us a report. Write us a little report that we can read later day.
I've got a report here, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you see that, dear Periscope? If you're watching on Periscope, and there are not many Periscopes.
Do you want
this
it
evening.
In duplicate?
Wowzers. Oh, periscope.tv/Ian Lee. Not many people watching us this evening, but boy, oh boy, the ones that are watching, top quality guys and gals, and Mandy's one of them.
Mm.
0844 499 1000. We call you back. Pablo, you'll be up next.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
George Harrison's sister on Howard Hughes was brilliant last night.
Did you enjoy it? I've missed it. I must listen again.
I'm going to be
on. How do I do that? Where's our website?
I don't know.
Talkradio.co.uk.
Sure.
Listen again.
He had George Harrison's sister on last night. And
Louise.
No, it was Howard Hughes. And I'm going to be honest, right? It was weird. It's weird.
How so?
It was very, very odd. There was like some moments where she lives in America, and she's lived in America since about 1960.
Oh.
Right. It's really, I mean, that bit was interesting. I didn't know this. And so she kind of had like a sort of an American Scouse accent.
Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
I'm from Liverpool. I'm from America now. Scottish. That's how it sounds.
Turns out.
And it wasn't a great phone line. So Howard would, and there was a slight delay, and they did that thing. They would talk over the delay, so they ended up swallowing each other's words. 0844 499 1000. Pablo, I will come to you next. And she quite often couldn't hear Howard, and he asked a question three times, and then she said, it got weird. She said, "I don't understand I don't understand where this is going."
Oh.
And not in that way. It was just, and he then asked the question again, and she said, "Well, I remember the thing I'm asked." Then she went off on a tangent. She says, "The thing I'm asked a lot is how the Beatles got their name." Well, John Lennon. And then she told the famous story of John Lennon making up nonsense about it and coming on, you know, an angel on a flaming pie and stuff.
Do you think that he'd actually been maybe Skyping someone who claimed to be Louise Harrison, but actually was probably Miley Cyrus?
It was weird. And she, I think, manages and sings with, maybe, I'm not sure, because she never made it clear.
Right.
A Beatles tribute band. Now,
how does that work?
You've got a sister, haven't you?
Yeah, right? She's...
Well, imagine if you got, like, a lookalike and soundalike of your sister and kind of went out with her, you know, and out for meals and stuff, and did sisterly things with her, right? Imagine your sister died.
Yeah.
And then you got a sort of lookalike, an American lookalike and soundalike, and you went, you know, to a lower rent version of her place of work.
That's definitely something I would do.
It would be weird, wouldn't it? And that's what she, I mean, it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But my mate, Watco and I were listening separately, and we're both Beatles buffs. And we were texting each other going, "This is weird, isn't it?" And he went, "Yeah, this is really weird." And we couldn't quite put our finger on it, but it was weird. It's a weird listen.
Well, it was Howard Hughes's The Unexplained. It's the home of weird on a weekend. Let's look at the tribute act.
But it's a good show. I do like Howard Hughes, Sunday nights. And are we talking about enough shows, boss? It is a good show, Howard Hughes. I'm Howard Hughes. Bullshine. Pablo's on the line. Good evening, Pablo.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
I was trying to do a bleak hip, hip, hip.
Now Ben's calling me Partridge again on Twitter.
Ben,
mute.
Bye-bye, Ben.
Mute. Muted. There we go.
Ben had a really odd way of... I'm not going to say. But
I don't know.
He sounded a little bit patronising when he was trying to be nice.
Well, no, we know he has mental health issues.
Ah, OK.
And so I
maybe
I
the
took
tone
into,
was wrong.
Yes, exactly. I think he misread the tone. But I just think, you know, comparing you to someone who is crap is an insult.
Crap on purpose.
Yeah, and I know that Partridge is brilliant and he's hilarious and he's wonderful, but it's an insult to compare me to it, you know? And maybe his mental health issues prevent him from realising that, despite being told quite forcibly at the start of the show. Mm. Anyway, he's muted.
Well,
now,
I mean, I would say with Partridge, I mean, say what you want, obviously it's kind of a satire on your Blackburns and people like that, but ultimately... He's a consummate professional. You'll never hear dead air on anything relating to Partridge. So,
yes,
radio-wise, that's gold. You know,
he's the governor. Someone's told Dan off for being rude to Nigel. Now, listen, guys, everyone gets treated the same here.
Nigel did the ultimate rude joke, so I think...
Yes, exactly. Right, what you got for us, Pablo?
On a positivity note in regards to making the world slightly better... I think it's just, you could probably do it with two films. Just everybody in the world, actually one film, everybody in the world has to watch Bugsy Malone once a week.
It's funny you should say that. I have never seen Bugsy Malone. I'm aware of it. I've seen bits of it. Chachi's in.
Well, love it.
I've booked tickets to go and see Bugsy Malone, the musical, the play, in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Alan Parker has directed it. He directed the movie, didn't he?
Yes, Alan Parker directed the movie, and the music was done. I forget
Paul Williams.
The name of the guy.
Paul Williams.
Yes, he did a lot of Carpenter's music.
Paul Williams.
Yeah,
it's Paul Williams, who also wrote.
Oh, have you seen
Rainbow Connection for the Muppets?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen the documentary about Paul Williams. Man alive! If you ever want to see a guy who's no taller than 5 foot hosting a live talk show whilst off his nut on cocaine to the point where he can barely speak, then you got to watch the Paul Williams documentary. I've tried to get him on the show to no avail. He's not replied, which is frustrating.
Well, I think he's a little bit. He's a little bit suspicious of people, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically because of what he did himself. When you say he was visibly on cocaine, literally to the point of having white powder on his nose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's talking like that.
The sweats.
Got a guest coming out here. And he's just laughing at himself. It's awful. But you know, he's clean and sober now, which is wonderful news. And he's a great ambassador for songwriters and making sure songwriters get their credit, both literal and financial. But yeah, he wrote the music. So we wanna be a boxer. But I'm taking the boys to see the play. If anyone has seen the play, aww, I'm hoping it will captivate a 6 and a 4-year-old. I think it will.
As long as they've got their splooge guns.
Well, this is it. I think they'll like it, because I told them it was all... I think it's all kids in it. I don't know if there are any adults. And it blew their minds, mm-hmm, that kids could play games.
This is the thing. You watch it on two different levels. Yes. When you're a kid, you just think, this is brilliant. They're all my age. You know, you can, and it looks like great fun. And then when you watch it as an adult, there's actually quite a serious kind of gangster film going on.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say, on top of the fact that it's a bunch of children essentially recreating Depression-era,
yeah,
1920s gangster-ridden America. So, you've got your Churchy-type character, Scott Bio. Bio. I'm confusing with Quantum Leap, man.
Yes.
No, but Scott Bio. Yeah, he's gone a little bit right-wing. He's a big Trump supporter now, so I'm kind of jaded by that. But
He is, unfortunately. I just let slip something else I meant to talk about today, but Jonathan phoned up last week, at the end of last week, and recommended the video game exhibition at the Science Museum. And, Pablo, I found myself taking the children there. It's flipping brilliant, right? What's great is you get sessions, and you get that each session is an hour and a half, and only a certain number of people are allowed in. And there are enough machines for everybody to sit down at a machine and have a go, and then you get up and you go to another one, and you apart from some annoying woman who turned off the Xbox when my boy was playing Lego Star Wars, she didn't realise it was the off button, and I just went off. Do you know what? We're going to move somewhere else. You have a go on this one, my love. And so we did that, and I blew the boys' minds, Pablo, because we have an Xbox, but to them, it's just for watching DVDs and Netflix. And we sat down and we were playing a game and I said, you know, this is an Xbox. They went, what? I said, it's like the one we've got. And you could see their eyes going, huh? And I said, yeah, all of these games we can play on the Xbox. The Xbox can play games, Daddy? Yes, it can. It blew their tiny minds. And I bought their first game today, Lego Star Wars. We were going to play it, but it's quite an old game, so it took forever to download. Yeah, it got download updates and all that boring stuff. So tomorrow we will be playing Lego Star Wars, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's a good start. Well, I was going to say one of the caveats to the Bugsy Malone thing is the fact that everybody in the world has to watch it once a week, and for every alternative week, you have to watch it with somebody with opposing views or religious beliefs to yourself.
Oh.
And you're not allowed to talk about that. You're only allowed to appreciate the film and talk about the film. So by the end of it, you might have just learned something.
Imagine if these, and I don't want to, you know, if these lunatics, that ISIS and, you know, in Germany and France, if they'd had splurge guns. Do you know what I mean? You get, there was a thing, wasn't there, for pieing people in the face. Someone tried to do it to Murdoch and stuff. And it's obnoxious and it's aggressive, but...
Bit compared, playful.
Compared, and you would hate it done to you, and I think it is violent, but compared to a suicide vest going off or someone strafing you with a machine gun, I think I'd know what I'd rather. I think I know what I'd rather. Pablo, what the hell's going on there?
I'm in a hotel in Ireland at the minute, on holiday, so I'm just ascending back up in the lift.
Go back up in the lift. All right, Pablo, so I'm going to let you go, because it's getting quite noisy there, but yes, well, Bez on... that's no name for a lady, Bez, says that Bugsy Malone at the Lyric is fantastic. I'm quite excited about it. I think I'm looking forward to it. This is the joy of having kids, is it kind of... it gives you the excuse to go to these things. And it's, I mean, we've got the cheapest tickets up in the balcony, but...
Doesn't matter.
And normally I wouldn't go and see something like that. My wife would be working and I wouldn't want to go on my own. But it's like, take the boys and it'll be, you know, cultural experience.
Plus, it's fun from the moment you get on the... I mean, if you're going on the train, that's...
Oh, because we don't live in London. They love the tube!
Yeah.
When we went and saw Finding Dory in Hammersmith, and then we got the tube into town to go and see their mum at work, and then we got an Uber to go to the Science Museum, and then we got the tube. They love it, all of it. It was an adventure. I forgot, of course, in the Uber, they haven't got child locks on.
Oh.
So they opened the door as we're driving along, and I think I may have got a slightly lower than 5-star rating.
Well, you shouldn't blame you, kids.
How do I find out my rating on Uber?
Idea. I'm a country mouse, I've got no clue about these things.
You can get Uber all across the country.
No, but not where I live.
Yes, you can. Well, yeah, you can.
I don't go out, though.
Download it on your thing and you can get Uber where you are. Of course you can.
What for?
To get a cab.
I don't need cabs.
Cheap cab, and you don't have to... It's free. Free cabs.
Mm.
Yeah.
That
you don't
sounds
pay,
like a bargain.
You don't pay them any money.
Oh.
You do it on your phone. You say where you are and where you want to go.
Yeah.
They come and pick you up. You get in and it's free. I don't know how it works or how they manage to sustain, but it's free.
I have a similar arrangement with my dad who lives around the corner. I'm
fair
a bit
play.
Safer with him.
Fair play.
Just a bit.
0844 499 1000.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Here's an interesting tweet from Tony Hamilton, hashtag actor.
Oh.
Actor. If you and your... Now, this can't... What he's about to offer me cannot be legal. If you and your boys want a ride on the front of a tube, give me a shout. Brackets Northern Line driver. Now, there's got to be some sort of health and safety.
Security, maybe?
Security issue there. I mean... Yeah. Of course I'd love to. Who wouldn't love to? That would be awesome. But I can't believe that's legal. That can't be. Tony, send me details. Because that's a day out for us. That's a free day out. The boys on the... Where are we going? We're gonna drive a tube train, guys. And also, it will be an absolute flip. Imagine if the boys pressed a button and it crashed.
Fun, I'd suggest.
It'll be less fun. And imagine the scandal. How did the train crash? The whole of London is gridlocked underground.
It's flipping Lee Kids again.
The Lee Kids. Oh, flipping it. I'd be a pariah. I don't know who this is because it's Dan. Hello, Dan. Okay, that's a yellow card.
Oh, sorry, that's where.
Yeah, you did a little bit.
Sorry, I'm Scottish.
Well, that doesn't mean that you have to be an idiot. Luckily, we have a 7-second delay, so we've dumped that bit of radio. But what would you like to say, Dan? That doesn't involve profanity.
Pokemon Go.
Thanks very much indeed for calling.
Dan.
Did I swear?
A bit.
But here's the thing, and Dan raises a really excellent point, right? You would have heard that on Periscope, but the listener at home won't have heard it. And I should make this clear, and I've not really had the need to make it clear here, but I will. So we have a 7-second delay. Actually, we have a 14-second delay. But what that means is if you phone up and swear or you're libelous... we can stop it being broadcast. So I hit this little button here, and it doesn't get broadcast. If you do it again, I can hit it again, and I'll cut you off. You get two chances. If you do it again, you get cut off. And so, because I know that the young men, and it is mainly young men, quite often feel the need to phone up and just F and Jeff. It's point. I'll hear it. But it won't get broadcast. It's pointless. So, you know, don't waste anybody's time. Really, is the thing. But apart from that was a great call, Dan. Well done.
Thanks for the compliment.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. The Daily Mail. I've not listened to BBC local radio since they shafted me. Mm-hmm. Have I?
I listened a little bit.
When I got in my new car, I couldn't get the DAB to work. And do you know the only station I could get to work was 3CR?
Wow.
And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I kept hearing Roberta constantly. Just kept going to Roberta, and I was trying to tune it into this and all these other... Let me just take this guy. Hang on a second. Yes, line one. Nope, you're gone.
That car's like Christine. It's out to get you.
But I don't really... I am very bitter about it, but bitter about the way I was treated, and that's fine, and I will work through that. But I pretty much know what they would have been doing today, how they would have shaped their shows. Because on page 31 of the Daily Mail, rich tea is the best biscuit for dunking, and here's the proof. Well, what do you think is the best biscuit for dunking, and what's your favourite biscuit to have with a cup of tea? Call us now, and we'll discuss it. That's what we've got a biscuit expert. We've got Steve on. Steve has got the best job in the world. Steve, why don't you tell us what you do?
I'm a biscuit taster. Work for McVitie's.
That really is a great job. No, I don't like biscuits. That's what they would have done.
I like to dunk a wafer. What are your crazy food combos? What do you like to dunk? What was the last thing you dropped in your brew?
I dunked a cheese sandwich once and it was bloody ace.
I bite the end off a Twix and suck it through like a straw.
Oh! I bite the end. The debate over which biscuit is best for dunking normally comes down to a matter of personal taste. But the more practical question of which can soak up the most tea... Oh, sweet God, if only Ben were on the line to save us. Ben?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ben.
Listen, there is a really dark movie I just wanted to mention that I forgot to mention earlier.
OK, well, that's great. Thanks very much indeed. The most practical question, blah, 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 of which can soak up the most tea without crumbling into the cup, has been subjected to the more exacting scrutiny of science.
Oh, have they sorted everything else out then?
I mean,
we all know it's a hobnob. Let's move on.
Well, no, it's not. It's not a hobnob. 10 types of... I'm reading it, though. I'm reading it. I've been sucked in.
Like tea into a hobnob.
Actually sucked in. And that's what...
Some biscuits are too wide for the cup anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what local radio would have been doing today. I mean,
some national radio.
The worst phone-in... Why, Paul Ross didn't do it, did he? Did he?
Well, according to Twitter, he did.
Did he?
And I bet he did it really well.
I bet he did it brilliantly. I bet he had his own unique twist on sharing a cup of tea with and a biscuit with your partner. Did he really? Mm-hmm. Well, then in that case, what I was saying, Catherine, if you'd let me finish, was that's a brilliant phone-in.
It's awesome.
If only Billy were here to save us now. Billy?
Hello there.
Hello, Billy.
How are you?
Who am I or how am I?
How are you?
I'm all right. Sorry, it's been a long day, Billy, and my ears are packing in. I'm all right, thank you. Billy, what you got for us?
I don't know. I was just phoning up. You sound sound about biscuits. A bit boring, but...
Tell me about it. I know.
Kath did mention another thing you like dunking, but, I mean, I don't think I'd get the yellow card for that, wouldn't I?
Steady
well, you don't
on.
Have scold yourself. Let's not be silly about this.
I don't think he's talking
I'm
about...
Really joking. I'm
dunking
joking.
In a cup of tea. He's talking about dunking inside dunking. A lady.
Crikey,
no, I didn't say that. You're saying that now. You're putting words into my mouth.
I'll put something in your mouth in a minute.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh, cheeky.
Can't say I'm partial to that, but, you know, let's not knock it until we've tried it, eh?
Exactly. You try everything once.
Don't knock it.
Rock it.
What is this show? It's almost like I'm listening to some mad callers, and it just seems like, is it a little bit of a Jeremy Calder radio sort of world, or...
Well, it is now you've called in, yes.
Oh, thanks.
No,
thanks.
Well, is this the first time you've listened, Billy?
I've listened before, like, a couple of years back, and it was, like, a couple of drunk people that used to go on, and, like, before I was getting on my shift, I would, like, listen, and it was kind of like, you know, it was a bit of a drone, but, yeah, I mean...
2 years ago?
We weren't here 2 years ago.
Oh, no, it was one of your other shows. You've done a few, haven't you?
What?
You've been about. You've done the rounds, Ian.
I'm a radio tart, Billy. Maybe you heard me on Absolute.
Yeah. So what have you been like? What have you been doing yourself?
Is prison.
Because you used to do a lot of you used to do a bit of TV.
Used to do a bit
stuff
of TV.
Like.
I did 3 years for fraud.
All right.
Yeah, I know. And it was the best thing that could have happened to me because it totally straightened me out. It's focused me. It was a prison up in near Luton. It's totally straightened me out. It's focused me.
Allowed you to grow that beard.
It did allow me to grow a beard.
Did you convert in there?
To Islam, yes, and I'm delivering some of the best radio I've ever done, Billy. Absolutely blinding stuff.
Yeah, because I don't know too much about you, but
nobody does. Man of mystery.
You say that you like you know, because I wasn't even aware. You used to have a drink. I mean, I don't know. That's too personal. But...
Yeah, no, I used to have a drink. Used to like you know, used to like enjoying myself. But now I'm a man of faith. Now I'm touching the cloth. I can't, and I refuse to indulge in any of those things now because it's sinful. It's sinful.
Does it help being on the radio, listening to a lot of people phoning in drunk?
It reminds me that the sins of the sinners will certainly be repented when forth they are in heaven.
Yeah, because what was I listening to the other night? You were saying about like people kissing kids on their lips and there was like a big thing about it. I mean, I don't really read the Sun paper, but...
That's
it was kind of like you said there was some sort of
Victoria Beckham's knee Adams kissed her daughter on the lips, and there was some people tried to make a furore out of it when really it's not a story. There's nothing wrong with kissing your kids on the lips.
No,
of course
no,
there's
I always
not.
Kiss my kids on the lips. I mean, I kiss them on the bum. I mean, like you know, it's kind of like I sometimes say to like my kids, "Oh, kiss your granddad or whatever." Like, and my wife's kind of like. Well, you shouldn't really ask them to kiss people. They should want to do it. And I thought, yeah, that's fair enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm the same with grandparents. If they don't want to, that's not a big thing because I don't, you know, I want them to feel comfortable around that. But I've got two little boys and my eldest, a 6-year-old, is just going through a thing now where he wants to grab me and kiss me on the lips. He wants to do it on the lips. Beautiful.
Nice though,
beautiful. And very, very shortly, too soon, they'll not want to be anywhere near me. They won't want to kiss me or have their eyes be seen at school with me. So make the most of it while you can, Billy.
My little 4-year-old has got this friend of hers, and every time they see each other in the playground, two girls, she'll give her a kiss. And there's nothing wrong with that, because they're four.
Oh, I know. I don't know what goes on in people's minds. I mean, for them to sort of like, you know, everyone feels on sort of like edge, but I think I kind of think to myself, oh, Sodom, do you know what I mean? I'm sort of happy. My kids are loved. Like, who cares what other people think, you know?
Exactly.
Yep.
But it's kind of like the other thing tonight, I mean, we was having a little laugh with, like, my boys. I mean, it's all sort of, you know, silly stuff you do indoors that we shouldn't really sort of ever go outdoors. But sort of like the nan will ask, sort of like where they've got sort of things from. Like today we was dancing about to a bit of Rihanna in our boxer shorts.
Beautiful!
And we was all twerking. and the mum pulled the phone out and I was sort of like, you know, I'll just buy it for the floor.
Exactly. Well done to avoid that. But, you know, when it's bath time, I chase my boys up the stairs. If I get them, I pull their trousers down and smack their bum and they run off. And it's and that's it. And that's the and it's beautiful and it's joyful. And there's nothing more beautiful than your six-year-old and four-year-old son's bottoms. They're beautiful. Everything about them is wonderful. And that's what it is. And, Billy, we're coming to the end of the show and you have perfectly, in 5 minutes... You've just summed up what the show is about. It's about people phoning up talking about stuff, and that's it.
Yeah, it's harmless things. But like you said about like slapping the bum, and I mean, I do that myself, but then sort of like that does backfire, you know, when you're on holiday and you're around a swimming pool and they do it to you. And yeah. It's kind of like, you know, and I've had that with
you. I don't worry about what any... Listen, Billy, I've got to go because we're literally at the end of the show, but I appreciate you calling. I don't worry about what other families think about what we get up to because I know that what we're doing is all wonderful and is loving and is legit and is above board and it's playing. Billy, you totally got... You phoned in saying you don't know what the show is, and then you got the show perfectly in that 5-minute phone call. It's that, and it's nothing more, and it's nothing less. Catherine, it's been a real pleasure working with you.
Well.
And I hope you wish you success in your new job. You're not with us anymore, are you?
Well, tomorrow's my last day.
Oh, okay. I totally misjudged that.
So it's time for the collection. I mean, I can always...
You can collect that, and there's a second one. That's it, Ed. Thank you very much. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, callers. Back tonight at 10. Ta-ta.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio. Give it some lift.